Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It is 5:08. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Jane Monzuris is here. Andy.
Hola.
Good to see you, man.
Hey, good to be seen.
You just came from the seventh floor.
Yeah, where it's Alaska.
Have you seen Vic Vaughn?
I have seen Vic Vaughn. I enjoy seeing Vic Vaughn.
We walk in. Vic is on the seventh floor, and Jane and I have monitors in the studio,
so we can see him.
And yep. What did you say about Vic?
I said, Pete, look at Vic from this angle. He looks like the guy in Entourage. And Pete said, Jeremy Piven? I go, yeah, he looks like Jeremy Piven.
He's a little Ari Gold going on there?
Yes, so, doesn't he look like Ari Gold?
Not at all.
You see him every day.
Is that a compliment? Vic, is that a compliment?
I would take that as a compliment, sure.
Okay.
I mean, have you seen my face up close?
Sorry, Vic. I didn't say this angle.
Takes a real man to wear a pink shirt. I like that.
Thank you.
Mary, are you wearing pink today? What is that?
I am wearing coral.
Okay.
Like a coral color.
A lot of pink happening on the seventh floor.
Thank you. That's nice.
Looks
a little pink.
That's why they asked me to leave.
I feel like
got blue.
You're wearing a golf shirt, too. I'm shocked.
You're patriotic, Shocking. Andy.
I feel like no one's working today.
No one's working today.
It took me 12 minutes door to door to get here from my house. There was no one on the Kennedy. Zero.
There's always people on the Eisenhower, though. Always, no matter what.
It's always backed up at Harlow.
I take Lower Wacker, and there was like two cars down there.
Yeah, there was nobody down there.
I love it.
Yeah. There's usually nobody. Nobody down there. But just, be careful.
I do blow the red lights, though. I will say that.
You got to be careful with the cameras.
I know. People around.
I ran one this morning. It was turning red, and I'm like, oh, my God. This is a red light camera. I'm done. I'm tired of getting these in the mail. Every week. Coming up on the show, 4th of July means what? Picnics. It means Nathan's hot dog eating contest. And it means Wimbledon.
Mm-hmm.
Wimbledon starts.
Getting underway today.
Right.
Yeah.
And the Tour de France.
Nobody
cares.
Yeah, but that goes on for two and a half weeks, right?
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we're going to check in with Tom Rivers from ABC News. He's at Wimbledon. And you have to think about just besides tennis, security measures.
Sure.
What's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, it's the truth.
We'll find out.
That's unfortunate in today's world. That's what you have to worry about.
Wow, it is hot in here.
It's okay.
I mean, I am sweating.
No, it's hot in here. It's warm in here.
We'll fix it. We're going to the boiler room.
It's got to be about 80 degrees in here, isn't it?
Well, it's usually freezing down there.
It really is, Mary. I wore a sweater today because I thought it was going to be cold.
Oh, yeah, usually
is. So I'm appreciating the heat because it will get cooler in here, guys.
And there's lights on. You guys have the lights on. Usually Cochran never, it's so dark in there, I can't see anybody.
Yeah. Usually if Dave Bennett is here and I have the lights full throttle, he'll come in and just kind of slowly
dim
them down.
Every minute he walks over and turns them down just a little bit more.
Guys, what is going on in here?
Yeah, wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Cochran likes the lights off. Well, I understand that.
5 a.m. Get with the program.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Also, there's a local guy that's going to be competing in the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest at Coney Island, Juan Rodriguez. He's from Naperville. He's a trainer. He started competitive eating 5 years ago.
What do you mean? He's a personal trainer?
He is a personal trainer. He's in shape.
Oh, right.
And he's in this contest.
Mm-hmm. It's a skill, actually.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that against all principles?
30 hot dogs. How many calories in a hot dog? Ooh. How many calories is he putting down in one sitting?
That's a good point.
And he's training right now.
We're going to look that up. I think
plus
it's 80
bread.
Calories. Yeah.
Doesn't matter how many
the bread.
Calories. Yeah. It matters.
Are they grilled or are they boiled is the question.
That's a question for
They're
him.
They're probably boiled, yeah.
He comes on at 8:20. Usually they dip them in water, right? That's how they eat them?
Mm-hmm.
Or they squeeze and eat.
Yes, exactly. Or they dip their hands in water. I've seen it live. Ugh.
It's disgusting.
It's gross. I did a bacon eating contest, and there was competitive eaters eating bacon in a radio studio that I was in.
I feel like bacon would be much easier than hot dogs.
Bacon is
because it would just
crispy.
Crumble up in your mouth.
Yeah, and then it would slide down your throat and scratch everything as it goes down.
Yeah, bacon gets stuck in your throat a lot, too.
Yeah.
Well, you're
it?
Chugging water, but
Especially
think about
if you get the fat down there.
Well, think about hot dogs. You got to chew, and then you got to
just slide.
You have to
right
eat
down.
It with the bun.
They're the same size as your esophagus. Or it's not going down your esophagus.
I'd worry about choking.
Yes.
I'd worry about choking.
True.
But this guy's a trainer. I started thinking yesterday. First of all, I saw this story. This is what I love about social media. Saw the story. Sent him a tweet. He got back to me right away.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Yeah, it's pretty
good
simple.
Service.
Yeah, It's nice.
He'll be able to work it off real quick, though. I mean, even if he eats 100 hot dogs, which, you know, obviously is a lot, but he'll be able to get back into shape because he's motivated because he's a trainer.
I said, hey, we're going to put you on at 8:20 tomorrow morning. He's like, okay, I'm training right now. So I started thinking, okay, how is he training? Is he sitting in his hotel room eating hot dogs?
Or do they not eat? No, I think you have to. Oh, the water expands your stomach.
Yeah, you have to keep your stomach big, because right. If you didn't eat it, it would shrink,
and
I
then
would think.
When he's not in competitive mode, does he not eat anything because he is a trainer? And he does, like, male figure competitions? We'll ask him.
30 hot dogs.
That's a lot of hot dogs.
Can you guys eat 30 of anything?
I can eat 30 chips.
Oh, 30 chips. 30 pieces of popcorn.
How about chicken wings?
No. Nah.
It's a lot.
I could eat 30 chicken wings easily.
I'm like 7.
Oh, God.
7's pretty good.
I'm a huge chicken wing guy. Easily, I could down 30 of them. I know Nick was talking about that.
Oh, yeah.
Napkins. Tons of napkins.
Yep.
You get the paper towels. You use the entire paper towel holder. It's good stuff.
I love chicken wings.
Oh, God. All right, Mary.
I'm hungry.
I know. Now we're hungry.
Yeah.
Mary, how was traffic? I didn't see anything this morning.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, I'm going to do a traffic report anyway.
WGN 518, Pete McMurray, Jane Manzouris, Andy is here. Anybody get some sleep last night because of the fireworks?
You know, they do blow those fireworks off, and I feel like they start blowing them late.
I mean, if you're a normal person and it's 1 o'clock in the morning, are you lighting off an M80? No. I don't get that.
That's annoying. And I mean, they're illegal, and, you know, sometimes the police don't even care anymore. Well, I hate to say that, but...
They have bigger things to do.
They let a lot of them go. In the suburbs, anyway.
We're going to arrest you for lighting off a bottle rocket. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Get in the squad car. Cops don't have time for that.
But my question is, why is that exciting for you? Does it do more than just make a big loud noise and wake up the neighbors and scare the dogs?
That's pretty much all it does.
Guys like to blow things up.
Yeah, it makes them cool. It makes them seem cool.
We like to blow things up. But I understand, okay, you light it during the day, but 1 o'clock in the morning?
Yes, a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. That's if it's not doing anything, like causing me joy in the sky with a bunch of lights.
And there's usually liquor involved.
True. No.
What about bottle rockets? You didn't like bottle rockets back in the day?
There was not one firework in the vicinity of the Manzouris household. We never had one, and I'm surprised now.
You obeyed the law at the
Manzouris
household.
Blue, there was
like
no
that.
Fireworks.
See, I have two boys, and they
You have fireworks?
Yeah. I mean, we don't do them at home, but we do them up at our lake house in northern Wisconsin. But, you know, there's not as many people up there, so it's not going to bother as many.
My neighbor across the street puts on a fireworks show every year. I barely know the guy. I think I've seen him 3 times. Then he comes out on the 4th of July, and there's a huge show that lasts 20 or 30 minutes.
With pretty lights in the sky?
Yes.
And they're illegal ones, right?
He's got the Roman candles, the whole deal. Absolutely. I wonder if it was him last night lighting off the M80s at 1 a.m.
And the police never come? They don't care?
No, I mean, the police aren't going to show up for that.
Yeah. And why are they illegal? I mean, if nobody cares.
I don't know. That's a great question.
Yeah.
I'm surprised because they are illegal. There are so many people in the neighborhoods that have them.
Because Indiana's very close.
Yeah, they just go right
very close.
Or Wisconsin. I mean, it's no big deal.
Some people are going to drive there today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're checking. They want to know what traffic's going on so they can get out there.
There is no traffic.
Go
get your bottle rockets.
The fireworks.
How about that little snake thing? You can buy those at Target, right?
Yeah.
Where you light it on
snakes
fire and
kind of sparklers is all we have.
The poppers.
I love the snakes.
The
That's
poppers.
Fine for me.
My brothers used to whip those things at my feet all the time, and they make you dance around.
Yeah,
I'm sure you
do.
Had that at your house, Pete.
4th of July is tomorrow. That means the start of Wimbledon. Let's check in with Tom Rivers from ABC News, live from Wimbledon. Tom, we were wondering, security. What is security like this year?
Yeah, Pete, it's been stepped up. And, of course, it's been stepped up about 12 years here, right after the attacks in London in 2005. They started putting up barricades. And there's even more, if you can imagine that, more of a presence out here this year. And I guess that's all part and parcel as far as the new normal, I guess.
Well, are people nervous? I mean, from what's happening the last few months, the terrorist attacks over there, are they nervous?
Not nervous. I mean, I'm standing right on the corner of Center Court and Court 14. Things are filling up. We're going to have action in 40 minutes. And no, people are milling around. It looks like a scene we saw last year or a decade ago or 20 years ago. So it is not in the forefront of everyone's mind. People are know about the fact that they're going about their business. They're happy to be out here.
You guys have fond memories of Wimbledon growing up? I mean, as soon as someone mentions Wimbledon, I think of Johnny McEnroe with the headband and the white short shorts.
Yes.
Yeah. Who? I don't even know who the favorites are this year, Tom. Who are they?
Well, again, I tell you, you're going to like this one. If you like some of the old school, it's the return of Roger Federer, going for a record 8th title out here. And the big money with the bookies is on him. He took the time off. He did not expend any energy at the French. And, of course, he took the Australian. And, he'll become the oldest men title holder for many, many years if he's successful this year. And, of course, we also have the return of Rafa Nadal getting back into form. Off form right now, we've got Andy Murray, the world number one. He's got a hip injury. And, of course, Djokovic has not been firing on all cylinders. So it could shape up to be a real barn burner this year. Watch his space.
I mean, everybody loves the underdog. Roger Federer, is that who we're all rooting for? Yeah.
Oh, everybody should. Yeah, because, this could be his, one of the last, real legitimate shots at another title here for him. So, yeah, I think the crowd is really behind him this year.
Well, Tom, because you say these guys are coming back and haven't been for so long, it's old school. Is this the last appearance we might see them in a Wimbledon?
Well, again, you're fighting the clock. You're fighting age. And, how many more years has he got out here? Nobody really knows. But, you cheer for somebody that's getting toward the end of their career, somebody that's been amazing. And, the way he's moved out here, he's moved like nobody else, kind of like a cat, kind of like a Rod Carew of the tennis world.
Just so Rod Carew. Tom Rivers throws out a Rod Carew this morning. I love it.
But that's how he moves on the grass. And he's one of those guys, just a natural. And, he one of these guys that was not injury prone, just the way he played.
I always thought it was amazing when you watch Wimbledon, they play on grass. Have you ever played on grass with anything? It slows everything down. It's just amazing to me. How did that start? Do we know the history of that? Why grass?
Well, again, it goes back not to this location, but about a mile away. They started playing in the 1800s on grass. I guess they were just kind of figuring things out back then. And, of course, that has become not only the premier lawn tennis circuit in the world. It really is the top of the icing as far as the majors go as well. And if you talk to anybody who's anybody, they say, yes, I'd like to win any major. But, of course, if I could win at Wimbledon,
sure,
that would be the icing on the top of the cake.
It's like playing on a putting green. Really,
yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is.
Exactly.
How do you do that?
It's rules, man.
Yeah.
You wait till the end of the second week and things are taking some wacky bounces, that's for sure.
It's like the English countryside. They have so much of countryside, they have to play their tennis on it. Tom, I haven't been to Wimbledon. I've been down the street from Wimbledon, but never there.
Yeah.
What are they serving, popcorn? Do they have the hot dogs like we would get, at a ball game? Because when you watch it on TV, everyone's quiet and they're obeying the rules. You never see anyone just sitting around chomping on some snack food.
Well, you can get the snack food here, but
it's
kind of, maybe it's more refined. You can get ice cream. It's right around the corner. You can get strawberries and cream. You can get other stuff too, but it's kind of tucked away in the cafeteria under court number one, which I'm looking in that direction now. But yeah, you don't want to eat that. Eat that stuff later on. Eat some strawberry and creams out here. That's what you want.
This is more proper.
Do they serve beer at Wimbledon?
Well, they certainly do in the press area.
Tom Rivers from ABC News. Tom, thanks for checking in.
Take care.
All right, see you, man. Live from Wimbledon. I mean, I'm a huge sports fan. That's on my bucket list. I don't know if I would ever do it. I'd love to go to the U.S. Open in New York. But Wimbledon, it would be cool just to experience it once. But think about if that tennis match was held here in Chicago. You'd see
nuts.
A bunch of bare-chested guys drinking beer like
dogs.
Me and my brothers.
Yeah.
Right. You don't see that at Wimbledon.
And you'd be screaming at the person, right? So there, they're all refined and they're proper and they're very quiet. Even though it is a lot of tourists, they're still appreciating it.
And I wonder how long that is going to last because, in golf, it was always tradition to be quiet. You know, it's always, you know, they hold up the signs, the marshals hold up the signs, quiet,
right,
please.
Right.
As soon as the guy makes contact, you hear all the, you know.
Get in the hole!
I mean,
the
guy's 500 yards away. It's a par five. It's not going to get in the hole, okay? Just shut up. You know, you wonder how long that that tradition is going to, you know, continue out there, just because it is so proper and you're expected to obey those rules.
It is England.
Are you guys rooting for Federer?
Sure.
A lot of people say Roger Federer and me, we kind of look alike.
We could be brothers.
I mean, a little. Seriously, I get that a lot.
Like McMurray.
Roger Federer.
I think he looks more like your brother, Dave.
the McMurray boys. Everybody loves an underdog. Wouldn't it be great to see Federer? Then people will pay attention. That's exactly what NBC wants.
Yeah, Boris Becker did that, you know, in the mid-'80s. He pulled a big upset out there.
That's right.
You get to know these guys. I mean, it's almost like, you know, on the golf tour when John Daly won. Guy comes out of nowhere. You know, you kind of root for that.
Here's a homework assignment for you before the end of the show.
Okay.
The oldest person to win Wimbledon. Modern day.
Modern day.
Modern day.
Yeah, it's easy to do. I don't see
Well, I'll give him a second. We have time. Show's over at 9 o'clock this morning.
You know, I did some work in England, and we literally stayed like
By the way, I loved your comment. You know, I was down the street from Wimbledon. I've never made it in.
But we didn't, because it was just like one tube stop away, and I just didn't have time to get over there. But I'm like, I'm this close to Wimbledon. I got to get there. Like, nothing is going on there right now.
Did you drive past it?
Nope, never even drove past it.
Damn.
But I knew it was just like one tube stop right there, I could be at Wimbledon. Just say
is that
I was
the subway?
There.
Is that the L?
Yeah.
Tube stop?
Yeah. I almost forgot the name. I wanted to call it the L.
It's Man.
Tube.
Yeah, that would be on my list.
I'd like to go and actually see the sport, not just go there.
I wish, you know how fashion comes around. I feel like it's coming back around. We may see the white short shorts sometime this weekend. The short shorts are back in, by the way.
What were they wearing? Long shorts like basketball?
No, you remember Johnny Mack? Well, they wear longer ones now, but McEnroe used to wear those short shorts and the tight shirt, and he'd have the fro with the headband.
The headband, yeah. Bjorn Borg and all those guys.
Jimmy Connors. Yeah.
Jimmy Connors.
And Yvonne Lendl.
No, Andy, you brought up Boris Becker. By the way, he is broke.
Oh,
that story
really?
Came out 2 weeks ago. He spent all of his money. He has no money left. How do you do that?
That's
bad
true.
Investments.
I mean, millions he made over his career, probably over $50 million, and he spent everything.
How would you like that story? How do you like that to be you, and then the story comes out about you?
You're already depressed. I think he filed for bankruptcy again, so it's in the news, and here you are reading about yourself. I'm dead broke. Thank you for reminding me.
So my homework assignment has been completed.
Okay.
And I'm gonna attribute my sources here to Wimbledon.com. And it says that when a 31-year-old Arthur Ashe won the 75 Wimbledon Championship, he became the oldest champion of the modern era, and the record still stands. 31.
31?
Wow.
I mean, there was a winner in 1909.
That's the oldest winner
at Wimbledon. Age 41.
Oh. How old is Federer?
Federer's 35.
Oh, okay. Wow.
31, Arthur Ashe.
And Martina Navratilova.
Yep.
Won a singles title at age 37.
God, remember how good she was.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She's good.
I mean, she was great. Chris Everett, Martina.
And Bjorn Borg. I used to have a crush on him.
He just quit out of the blue. Remember he walked away from tennis?
I just read he won 11 major championships before retiring at age 26.
Yeah, I've had enough. I'm 26. Yeah. I need to walk away.
Let me correct. Martina Navratilova almost won at 37. She did win at 33, and that's the record.
For 33
a woman
is the record.
Is 33?
Yeah. Martina.
Well, how old are the girls, Venus and her sister?
Like 37 and 35-ish, I think, around there, aren't they?
Yeah, I thought so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the sisters
like I said,
involved
I'm
in that wreck.
She's having a baby.
She's having a
no,
baby.
No, not Venus, Serena.
So who is, out of the guys playing this weekend, then who is the oldest? So could we upset this title? That's what I want to know.
Roger Federer, 35, is
there
the oldest.
Go. So if he wins, that's what we want.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
The next year when we don't remember the homework assignment.
We need something to root for.
Need something, something good to happen.
I mean, you'll tune in. It'll be on NBC tomorrow. It's the 4th of July.
It is great napping TV.
It is. I love that. That and golf. I fell asleep to golf yesterday. Oh. It was nice. It was awesome. All right, quick break. Come back with bottom of the hour news at 720 WGN. It is 5:38, Monday morning. Today kind of seems like a Sunday, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, because it's...
Tomorrow's the holiday.
But there are people working, so we have friends going to work right now. But they'll probably take a half day.
When was the last time you guys took Uber?
Last weekend.
Yeah. 3 days ago, four days ago.
I took it in San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Yeah.
Anywhere you go.
Everywhere you go.
With a company like Uber that grows so quickly, you're going to have hiccups. And their big hiccup, of course, was their CEO. And joining us, she wrote the book called The Magnetic Leader, How Irresistible Leaders Attract Employees, Customers, and Profits. It's Roberta Matusin. Roberta, thanks for joining us this morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Let's talk about Uber, because with a successful company like this that grows very fast, you're going to have some hiccups, and their hiccup was their CEO, wasn't it?
Absolutely. One big hiccup.
I mean, for months, he's been shooting himself in the foot. What is it with Travis that he couldn't lead the company?
Well, I mean, I think he thought he was indestructible. I mean, he could do whatever he wanted, kind of on a power trip there. And, you know, to be honest with you, I was surprised that it took as long as it did for them to exit him.
What is it with dynamic leaders? Why do we want to follow dynamic leaders? Travis, when he started out at Uber, people thought he was this hip young guy, and then of course he had the PR nightmares. But why are we attracted to these people?
People like Travis?
Yes.
Well, I think, you know, it all comes down to the culture, which is, you know, we can do anything. I mean, that's how he set it up. We can do anything, and we're going to break all the rules. We're going to make our own rules, and we're going to do whatever the heck we want. And, you know, I think the organization consisted of a lot of young people. And, you know, to many of those people, that was their norm. They may not even have known anything different. They may not have known that, you know, this isn't normal.
Think about your favorite boss, okay? Charismatic, great communicator. They have a clear vision. They get you pumped up, and you feel good about yourself. That's basically it right there.
Yeah, pretty much.
So are these kids that worked for him, and I call them kids because I call everybody kids, but are they then, do you think they're then going to take their next jobs and become leaders like Travis, or are they going to learn from his mistakes?
I think that the majority of them will learn from his mistakes. I mean, if they would have allowed him to remain in that role, then these quote-unquote kids would go on to their next jobs and try to emulate their great leader. But the fact that they removed him from that role, you know, I it gives me hope.
Well, what do they do now? How do they pick up their PR? Do they just kind of lay low and stay out of the news?
Well, I think that the next step is they're going to really have to bring in a charismatic leader who is very much a people person and somebody who can really start to build the culture again and start anew. But I also think that none of this is going to really matter if he remains on the board.
Right. Didn't he take a diminished role, he stepped down?
Well, he's on the board.
Yeah.
So he's basically a backseat driver.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know how dangerous they are, right?
Yes. The book is entitled The Magnetic Leader, How Irresistible Leaders Attract Employees, Customers, and Profits. You mentioned in your book that if you're a leader nowadays, you have to be able to appeal to millennials. What if you don't have anything in common? How do you do that?
Well, that's the whole thing. We actually have more in common with one another than not. I mean, if you think back when you were in your 20s and early 30s, you wanted the same exact things as these young people want, right? You wanted to move up in your career. You wanted to be respected. You wanted to have work with somebody who would develop you. I mean, that's the ironic thing when I read about all the different generations. I mean, everyone tries to put everyone in boxes. And, you know, I look at it and say, let's break it open, that box, because we're more alike than different.
Usually with a magnetic leader, it kind of wears off over time. What happens then?
You think that magnetism wears off?
Well, I feel like if he's or she is leading the company, it gets old after a while. I feel like you need to reinvent yourself if you're a CEO.
I would have to disagree on that. I mean, I know a number of incredible magnetic leaders who are well into the latter part of their careers. And I think
Let me rephrase that. How do you keep it fresh if you're a CEO like that with your employees?
Well, because being a magnetic leader really involves having, you know, these traits, and traits are characteristics, and they don't really change much. So if you treat people with respect, I mean, you kind of learn that when you're in kindergarten. You don't kind of pick that up when you're, you know, 55 and all of a sudden, oh, I'm going to treat people with respect. So the traits that these individuals have, they stick. They stick with them, and that's what's so attractive, because these kind of leaders are very consistent.
Yeah, but when you're talking about leaders, don't you think that's sort of something? There are born leaders, and then there are other people that would prefer to follow the leader. And so don't you think really great leaders, because I can think back to like other jobs I've had and even, you know, grade school and teachers and working with people in groups, you know who's emerging as that leader because they're making the right decisions and they're the person you want to follow. So don't you think a leader is something that it's sort of an innate ability?
I think some of it is innate, but I think a lot of it can be taught.
At an early age, and you grow into it.
Oh, yes, but it can be taught, you know, when you're in your 20s and your 30s. I mean, that's really the key. A lot of organizations, you know, when we hit the recession, they took out all the leadership development programs from the budget. And it's sort of like you're not going to land in a leadership role and all of a sudden you get the title and you know exactly what you're doing. You know, you have to be developed. And, you know, I'm excited because I see a lot of organizations now actually making those investments again in their people to develop them.
Right. The name of the book is The Magnetic Leader, Roberta Mattoson. Thanks for joining us this morning. Okay. It is 5:46. Let's take a look at traffic, Mayor. 720 WGN, it is 5:50. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris, in for Steve Cochran. Steve is back on Wednesday. We're going to run through the 6 at 6 coming up in 10 minutes, of course. We're going to talk about President Trump's tweet over the weekend where he's body-slamming CNN logo.
Did that really happen?
Why aren't we surprised? Because every single weekend we get a strange tweet from the President of the United States.
There was editing involved. This is not just words now.
I just don't understand. First of all, who's got time for this?
I have no idea.
I understand you're the president of the free world, but who has time?
I don't even know how to edit and put a logo over somebody else's face on a video, and that's what I do.
We are trying to pass a health care bill. Isn't he trying to replace Obamacare?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. Listen, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He was in the bathroom on the gold throne, and he had 5 minutes to make that video. I don't know.
I don't understand what goes through your head, because we've had this conversation numerous times. Mr. President, just wait a beat. Maybe you should talk to someone before you send out a tweet. But this was editing involved, so someone else had to help him.
You
because
think?
He didn't do it himself.
Are you sure?
He did not put the logo on the
it
guy's
head. It was
Barron
that helped him. The kids always know how to do these things.
I retweeted it yesterday, and I just went, I just put the text, what the ? I just don't get it.
I thought somebody else did it.
We'll break that down after the 6 at 6. Let's check in with Orion Samuelson. Orion?
Good morning. It will be a short trading session today on Wall Street and in the commodity markets. Markets will be shutting down at noon, and my guess is population on the trading floors at all exchanges in the U.S. today will be very light. Can we duplicate last Friday's closing in the grain market? Well, we'll find out, because July wheat ended up 30 and three quarters, July corn up 10 and a quarter, and July soybeans ended up 24 and three quarters cents a bushel. And at the Mercantile Exchange, the August lean hog contract up the $3 daily limit. August cattle contract down 22 cents a hundredweight, and the August feeder cattle contract ended $1.02 higher for the day on Friday. American fresh beef is now on shelves in supermarkets in China. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue spent Saturday at a Chinese supermarket in Beijing and was there to promote U.S. beef. Importers of U.S. beef saying they're delighted to see that the fresh beef is coming back after a 14-year absence. They say there will be a growing market for U.S. fresh beef in the Chinese market. Because of the holiday tomorrow, a lot of reports from the government will be delayed. That includes the crop conditions report, normally due out on Monday afternoon. It'll now be out Wednesday afternoon. Have a great day. Have a safe 4th. I'm Orion Samuelson.
All right. Thank you, Big O. You know, 4th of July means corn on the cob. You guys going to eat corn on the cob?
I like corn on the cob on the grill.
It takes so long, though. It takes forever to cook on the grill. Well, I know I do, too.
I'm not doing the cooking on the grill, so that's why I like it.
See, I do the cooking. I think it takes, what, 30, 40 minutes for corn on the cob on the grill?
Sounds about right.
I mean,
I don't know the secret. Somebody else cooks that. I'll do the kitchen cooking.
It tastes so much better. You put it in the foil, and you put the salts and the different types of spices and the butter.
That's good. I saw a lady buying the corn at the grocery store yesterday. I was like, oh, she likes corn.
Where do you guys buy your corn? Do you get it from Jewel?
The Jewels.
Sure.
You don't go to Stanley's?
I like Stanley's, but I tend to go to the Jewels.
We had some at Walmart this weekend. It's actually pretty good. Yeah, it was like the two-tone corn, you know?
Yeah, I love that.
Two-tone?
Well, kind of yellow and white.
That kind of freaks me out.
Why?
I just want to see yellow corn. I feel like if I see white, it's not done.
Oh, no.
They picked it too early.
Corn,
it's
the
good stuff. Yes, that's the label.
I feel like it's not done. I mean, they didn't
it's done.
Cook it
it's
long enough.
High-fashion corn. It's done. Just boil it. You can eat it raw. Who cares?
Eat it raw?
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, especially the Murai corn. Oh, that's the best stuff.
I don't even know what that is.
That's
what is
the stuff we get here at the end of the, you know.
Oh, that they bring to the radio station.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Best stuff ever. We get that.
Who drops that off anyway?
Oh, gosh, what's his name?
Every year.
Every year. What's his name, Dave?
We get corn here, tons of corn, too.
Really?
Oh, man, it's like, it's crazy around here when the corn shows up.
Can someone send an email out on that?
Murai corn.
Hey, guys, the corn's here. There is a table upstairs. They just put all the food on, and it's gone within 10 minutes.
No, sure. They don't put the corn on the table.
Oh, it doesn't go on the table?
No, no, no. It's individually brought around in secret.
We will drive to Wisconsin to see my wife's family this week, and we'll stop and get fresh corn on the side of the road.
That's great.
And make that for dinner. It's so good.
The fresh corn on the side of the road, you just can't beat it.
Well, you know it's fresh.
Yeah.
It's some farmer. Someone stole it from a farmer, so it's gotta taste great.
It's the corn that you get on the side of the road when you're pulling off, like off of the Kennedy. That's the one you're probably like, where did this come from?
There is a guy that has
the intersection.
There's a guy that has a watermelon truck. I think it's on Irving Park. And it's Peterson and Lincoln where he sells watermelon off the back of his truck.
Because there used to be a fruit stand there. My grandparents lived right near that intersection.
Maybe that's the guy.
It hasn't been there for years.
If I'm ever over there, I'll buy the watermelon. It's so fresh and fantastic. And it's so cheap. It's like $2. How do you make money off that?
I don't know. He, like you said, maybe he has a surplus or he stole it from somebody. So $2 is $2.
How do you steal watermelon, though?
You put it under your shirt.
But he has this
Doesn't everybody do that?
It's not a pickup. It's one of those big trucks with the fences on the side that's just filled with watermelons.
It's his watermelon.
And he's driving around. How do you keep it fresh? You got to sell that all in one day or you're done.
People like you are buying it, Pete.
It's got to be
$2. You'll buy three of them.
I have to get back to the Murai corn, by the way. It was Twin Garden Farms. Don't you guys remember?
Twin Garden Farms.
Yeah, I think the guy's name is Dave that comes in all the time. Yeah.
So I'd like to go to Twin Garden Farms. I really would like to go to a strawberry farm and pick some strawberries. I think I'm at the end of the season. Mary, do you know?
Strawberries are later. Yeah. Raspberries and
blueberries are end of July, early August, but strawberries are mid to late June. So I feel like it's the end, although they might have grown late this year.
Well, they're out, but you got to make sure a lot of the deer eat the strawberries.
What is that highway you take to Lake Geneva? You take 90 up and then you take a left. Do you know what I'm talking about, Mary?
I'm a Southsider.
Geneva Road? To Lake Geneva.
To Lake Geneva.
You're talking about Geneva, Illinois.
20-something, 29 or whatever it is. There's always fresh strawberries for sale by a farmer.
Will you pick me up some on your way to Wisconsin?
Yes.
Really?
But I don't know if I'm going to be driving past Lake Geneva
this
weekend. I was there a few weeks ago. I saw the strawberries.
You did?
Jeez. I absolutely did. All right, let's take Who needs strawberries? Okay, we got corn, strawberries. Andy, what do you need? Anything?
I'll take some potatoes, watermelon.
Watermelon.
Maybe some grapes, yeah.
Let's drive up to Peterson and Lincoln today.
Sure, let's
we'll
do
just
it.
Go up there and make that happen. It's 5:58 coming up next, the 6 at 6. And, of course, top of the hour news at 7:20 WGN.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the Top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris, and for Steve Cochran. Steve is back on Wednesday. Time for the Top 6 at 6, brought to you by our good friends at American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. At number one, President Trump tweeted yesterday a video of him at WrestleMania 23. I'm still shocked by this. I know every weekend we get a tweet from Trump and we say, he's a little off. But yesterday, it was a doctored video. It was from WrestleMania 23 when Donald Trump walked out. He body slammed Vince McMahon. And instead of Vince McMahon, they superimposed the CNN face, the CNN logo over Vince McMahon's face.
Who thinks of that?
I just don't understand it. He is the most powerful man on the planet, and he tweets out this video with the hashtag fraud news CNN, hashtag FNN, which is fake news network.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand.
The question is, so this video from 2007, who said, I have this great idea. Was it him?
How do you tell people that? And where is your mind? Because you're right. It had to start with him. Hey, why don't you do this video? And I'll tweet it out sometime in the next month.
Who's
Take your time on it.
Who's the person that said, okay, I'll do it for you?
Barron. Did you say that earlier?
He says that it's he is defending his own constituency. It's the continuing fight against the fake news media, and he is looking out for his constituents.
Ridiculous.
That's what he said.
All right. 6 at 6 at number two, Illinois lawmakers could not agree on a budget over the weekend. I know everyone's shocked. Illinois will enter its third fiscal year without a full budget. Did anyone watch over the weekend? Did you see any of it?
I talked about it.
I did.
They debated the tax hike bill. Where did this come from? And they want to raise our income tax. Well, that was, they wanted to raise it, what, 32%?
32%, yeah. That's right.
That's crazy. Runner said, forget it. I'm not going to sign it. Not happening.
We'll see what happens in the Senate today. And, he will stick to his guns and say if it makes it to his desk, he will veto it. Then it goes back, of course, to see if it will be overridden.
Mm-hmm.
There is one piece of good news. Other states couldn't agree on a budget either.
I know New Jersey because the beaches are closed. I saw that.
Chris Christie. Maine was another one.
But Chris Christie did go to the beach.
Yeah, he went
to the
beach.
Closed.
Yeah.
Yes, he went to the closed beach. And he could do that because he's the governor.
All right.
At number three, a suspect is being held without bond for shooting dead a recent Pennsylvania high school grad in a road rage incident. This is just a horrendous story. Bianca Robertson was trying to merge onto a highway when she upset David Desper. Desper pulled out his gun, shot her in the head. She died instantly. How do we get to this point where people are so angry they pull out a gun on the highway and shoot at another car?
It's unbelievable. The stories like this scare me because this girl, Bianca, she didn't know this was going to happen. She's driving, doing her own thing. Mm-hmm. So doesn't it scare you? You're driving down the street. You're at a very crowded place. There's a lot of road rage going on. Maybe you're at a dead stop.
I think about it all the time.
I always try to stagger my car.
Let them go.
I'm not at the window.
Yeah, merges are scary too. And people just fly off of some of these ramps and expect just to be let in. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, come on. That's my, and, you know, you got to give a little.
I know you're upset and you're angry when you're driving. You have road rage, but pulling on a gun and shooting another person. God, is that a bad story? Cubs closer Wade Davis is the only Cubs player named to the 2017 National League All-Star Game. Last year, the Cubs had 7 players on the team. We have one.
Maybe two.
Who's going to be the second?
Chris Bryant is up for the final vote. That's that fan vote for the final roster spot. Plus, injuries pop up. Guys don't want to go. Someone, you know, could replace somebody.
Will we see Rizzo?
That's a possibility. But, you know, as Joe Maddon was saying after the game yesterday, the silver lining in the whole thing is that the Cubs players have played a lot of baseball over the last couple of years, and they could certainly use a couple of days off.
Yeah, but it's fun to see your players in the All-Star
game.
Yeah,
but now it's back to exhibition status, which is the way it should have been, which should be all the time. But,
right.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, hey, listen, the Cubs are 41-41. They're not 41 games over 500 like they were last year.
But people keep saying the Cubs are terrible this season, but the division is terrible.
The division's awful.
What are we, two games out?
Two games out. It's still there. Still there for the taking.
Right. All we need to do is win the division, just get back into the playoffs. What we need to work on pitching to. Number five, the 6 at 6, Despicable Me, took number one at the box office over the weekend, earning $75.4 million. Steve Carell, Kristen Wiig, and the Minions. I can't wait to go see this movie.
I'm going to wait for it on demand.
Anybody else excited about this movie? Mm. Spider-Man's coming out and Despicable Me 3. I mean, come on.
Oh, wait.
Is it just because I have an 11-year-old at my house and I look forward to these?
And because you're still an 11-year-old.
Yes.
Right. Well, thank you for that, Mary.
You're an official kid alt.
All right. And finally, Naperville trainer Juan Rodriguez qualified for Nathan's hot dog eating contest in Coney Island. The guy ate 30 hot dogs to qualify. 30. 3-0. He's a trainer. And he's training right now. He'll join the show at 8:20 this morning. His website is One More Bite.
That's hilarious. OneMoreBite.com.
Also his Twitter.
I
yes.
love it.
One More Bite.
That's good.
Does he dip them in water? How does he do this? Yes. That is the 6 at 6. And again, it's brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. We'll take caller number 6 right now at 312-981-7200. We'll set you up with a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Let's take a look at traffic at 6:15. Mayor? On 720 WGN, Pete McMurray, Jane Manzuris. President Trump tweeted a GIF of himself taking down a person whose head was replaced by the CNN logo at a WWE match. Just reading that out loud is ridiculous.
I mean, I thought, I really saw it yesterday, and I woke up this morning, and I knew it was on our list to talk about. And I thought, that didn't really happen. Nobody
does
that. It
did. It was tweeted out yesterday, I want to say around 8 a.m. Yeah, when I first saw it.
And somebody on Twitter yesterday pointed out that, isn't wrestling fake?
It is. Joining us from ABC News is Rick Klein. Rick, his supporters loved this, didn't they?
Well, I can confirm it's real. This is real life, yes. And his supporters do love it. And I think that's actually an interesting insight, because there's been a big debate, kind of infamous debate after the election. Should you take the president seriously or literally? And I think no one would really take professional wrestling literally. But I think taking this imagery even seriously raises pretty profound questions about the presidency and appropriate conduct. And this is just, you know, another new low in communications, and a president who seems to be eating it up every step of the way.
Well, he likes to put himself as the underdog, and if he's fighting against fake news and CNN, people are going to see him as the underdog, so he has something to fight against his entire presidency.
Boom. I think that's exactly it. I think he looks at the media as a useful foil, and I think he uses opportunities like this to joust against what he sees as unfair coverage. And again, his supporters like it. And that isn't to excuse it, but it explains a lot of the president's mindset with this. And he enjoys this fight, and he brings him back to a comfort zone when he is jousting publicly with the news media.
Right. And it makes him look like the underdog. But Jane brought up a great point. What was his mindset when he told someone to edit this video? Hey, I got a great idea. Let's do this. I know we got to worry about Obamacare and getting people jobs, but let's try to put together this video and send it out.
And he's meeting Putin later.
Right. Oh, that's right. He's meeting Putin this week.
A couple things to worry about. I can't get in the mindset. I think we make a mistake when we look for strategy, because I think this is a president who is very tactical, moment by moment. What is going to get him past the crisis of the moment? What is that's going to make him feel better, frankly, about whatever fight he's engaged in. And I don't think he looks down the road and says, oh, if I do this, then that will happen. I think he is just much more kind of visceral, like a professional wrestler, maybe. It's just that he's looking for the roar of the crowd approval, and he's looking to play the good guys versus the bad guys.
So he had said that this is the his way of being a quote-unquote modern-day president. But when you're posting something on Twitter, that is a public app. So I would think in today's age, you know, when Hillary had the big problem with the public server and doing all her emails that way, that was a private server of her own, but it wasn't guarded by the government. Well, Twitter is not guarded by any sort of security or government. Who's to say that, you know, he puts these things out there that somebody can't come in and do other things with Twitter because it's not private?
Nobody's to say
so
that.
So why is it okay?
Because
we can't stop him.
The president, exactly. I mean, people have been saying throughout this, and I think they make a good point. This is not presidential behavior. I agree. It's not presidential behavior. But you know what? Guess who gets to decide if it's presidential or not? The president. So it's the strangest type of story, and it's unlike any that I've ever covered when you have that situation, because I think the point you make is exactly valid, that this is scary and this is dangerous and this is potentially problematic, but none of it actually matters because the president can do it and there really is no policing the president's own actions.
We are talking with Rick Klein from ABC News about President Trump's tweet yesterday where a gif of himself taking down a person whose head was replaced by the CNN logo at a WWE match. I've always said that if you're going to post something on Facebook or Twitter, you got to wait a beat. He is the president. He's probably the most powerful man. He is the most powerful man on the planet. You would think he would have a team of people saying, Mr. President, maybe this isn't such a good idea right now to release this video. Does he have that those people? And if he does, are they listening? Is he listening to them?
The fact is he does not. He does not have people that are able to tell him, no, Mr. President. I mean, there are people that offer that advice all the time. But that's different than being able to actually say, no, I don't think that's a good idea. If he was listening to those people, this wouldn't be happening. I think he would have shut down Twitter a long time ago.
Right.
If he was listening to his own, advisors on these questions. So that makes it a problematic storyline to follow because there's not like there's anyone who thinks this is really working for him other than himself.
Rick, I don't know if you want to or even can, but give us a behind-the-scenes feel of what's happening in this media pool before you get out to the public, before you start writing your stories or talking to people on the radio or on the TV. What do you guys all kind of – what's the hubbub in your circles when things like this come out?
Well, I think it raises an immediate and sometimes urgent question about – you know, does this need a kind of formal response? And are they attacking? And is there some security situation that we should be worried about in the immediate term? Once you get beyond that, I think there's a kind of collective shrug and sometimes giggle in saying, what is it that the president's doing exactly? And then, you know, getting down to the business, we have a job to do. And I think you saw CNN's response to this, which is we'll continue to do our job. We hope the president does his. And I feel like for most of my colleagues, I would say we approach this as from the standpoint of we want to go out and do our jobs every day. And there's always going to be people that criticize it. And there's people that think they're doing it the wrong way. But we just have to keep plugging away at it.
Rick Klein, ABC News. Thank you, Rick.
Hey, thank you.
All right. President Trump. I retweeted that yesterday. If you want to grab that off my Twitter feed at Pete McMurray. Not presidential behavior. It's not presidential behavior, but this is Donald Trump we're talking about. And this has been his behavior since he's been in office.
It's been his behavior since he's been the celebrity, he's a media person.
He's a bully. That's what he is. He bullies people.
Well, then you can go back and watch history of, I mean, if he's bullying people, even in real estate, probably.
But we've come to accept this now, and this shouldn't be acceptable behavior of the president of the United States. And every weekend we get a crazy tweet. But when I saw that video yesterday, and I follow him because we get crazy stuff every single weekend. And when I saw it, I thought to myself, really? Yeah. This is the president. Shouldn't he have other things to worry about?
Well, is he taking his eye off the ball? Is he losing focus on what we all want him to be focused on?
Well, he's positioning himself as an underdog, mm-hmm. that the media is out to get him. And as you do that, people will follow you.
Yeah, but we get it. Okay, so do you have to take the next step and post a video? I mean, I don't know.
I would say no, but I'm not a normal I'm a normal person. I don't think he's that normal.
But I don't know. I get it. He wants to communicate with people directly, and he's using Twitter to do that. I don't know that social media is the right way when you're president of the United States. Maybe for Pete McMurray.
I would love to be in that meeting where the tweet goes out and his team says, okay, Mr. President, what were you thinking? Or, hey, saw your tweet today. Wow. Who put that together?
That was great. Melania did it.
Mr. President, maybe next time release it on a Tuesday instead of a Sunday morning before the talk shows. Maybe you do that. I don't know. This is the president.
What does Melania say? They're sitting down for dinner.
She doesn't say anything. They don't even talk to each other. I don't even think she likes him anymore. But again, and I've said this before, I want a president who is smarter than me. I don't think he is smarter than me. That's what upsets me.
Politically or tweet-wise?
Right. All of it. Okay. It's 6:29 at 7:20 WGN. I am ready to get in shape right now. 6:38, Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris. Joining us in studio is the owner. Do you have your boxing glove on?
I do.
He is the owner and also teaches at Title Boxing Club Chicago. It's Graham Goy in studio with us. That's a fake name, isn't it? That's a stage name.
That's my boxing name.
What is it with people when they see boxing gloves? They just feel like they're ready to fight. I don't know. Jane puts on the gloves. She's ready to punch me. I'm glad she's
like
on the other side of the room.
Yeah.
Everyone likes to hit stuff. Everyone does. It's therapeutic.
It really is. I was just reading yesterday in Us Magazine that this is a huge thing in Hollywood now. All the celebrities do boxing. Including Jonah Hill, who boxes two or three times a week. He's lost all that weight. That's how he did it.
The results are just amazing. It's fun. It's stress relief. You get in the best shape of your life, and you learn some skills. It's a really easy way to get in some great shape.
I love boxing. I've been boxing for years, and it's hard. It's a full-body workout. And you know I host Living Healthy Chicago on WGN TV.
Oh, really? Sundays at 11:30?
Sundays at 11:30. Mm-hmm. But, you know, boxing's one of those things that we always talk about movement, and if you're tired of the gym, you don't want to run, your knees hurt, box, because you're going to get a full-body workout, cardio, you're getting weight-bearing exercise. You think, I can't do this for an hour. There's no way. But my thing is this. You can do anything for an hour.
Yeah,
it's you can. Andy's looking at you
sure.
Classes are an hour long. We have an instructor led group class. It's not a group workout. It's an individual workout in a group setting. So you go as fast or as easy or as hard as you want to for 1 hour. We tell you what to do. We say it. We throw it and we show it. And you just follow along and you'd be amazed at how much better you get, how quickly you get. It's not just physical. It's mental. For example, we work with Parkinson's patients, and it's that connection between your brain and your muscles is so great in boxing when you're dead tired in round five and you can't even...
Round five?
You figure, what's your name?
I don't say
jab, cross, hook, cross, uppercut, go. And you just do it, and you get better. And the more you do it, the stronger you get and the sharper you get. And so mentally, as well as physically, it's a mental workout as much as it is physical.
Graham, how'd you get into it?
So I was a banker. For a number of years.
Of course you were.
Yes.
That's how you get into it. He's a banker.
I was pretty stressed out. Actually, for Christmas, my mom brought my brother and I a package for a local boxing gym, a heavy bag workout. So when we took this class for 10 weeks, and we loved it. And I thought, okay, this is great. Well, I'm gonna look for a new job anyways. And so I was introduced to basically a headhunter for franchisors. And this guy introduces you to different companies, sandwich shops, t-shirt shops, and one happened to be a boxing club. And I thought, well, I kind of know what it's about. So I went down to Kansas City, visited the guy's title, and thought, this is amazing. This is awesome. I could do this. Oh, and the Ritz, the Chicago, were open for purchase. Part of the city was.
Well, let me get this straight. So you started out as a banker. Your mom buys you this package. You enjoy boxing, and you think, okay, I'm going to change jobs. So you find a franchise headhunter because you know you want to start your own business, right?
Yeah.
So they bring you a t-shirt shop. What was the other thing? And a boxing shop.
A sandwich shop.
T-shirt shop, sandwich shop, and a boxing shop.
It was easy.
Who knew there was such a thing? I guess it makes sense.
He's like a fortune teller because he knew boxing was going to be one of those highlights of fitness.
So I got the rights to part of the city, and I opened my clubs up. And it's been a wild ride.
Spend a lot of time boxing at your clubs?
Where I'm there. So it's my own club, so I'm there every day, all day. In and out between the clubs. But it's fun. Getting good shape. It's an hour long. You work the entire time. And you don't have to figure out what you're going to do. We tell you what to do. We show you how to do it, and you get in good shape.
I try to hit a heavy bag at least once a week, and just doing that for 30 seconds, you're winded.
Yes.
Your body hurts, your arms hurt, and it's like you just sprinted, a 40-yard dash.
People say, well, do you just work out your arms? No, it's your core, it's your back, it's your legs. It's a full body workout. It really is. You're just totally beat after you're done with this.
By the end of the day, your arms feel like spaghetti. You're like, I can't even lift up my arm. But once you get used to it and you do it, I mean, I say once a week. I'm all about moderation and changing it up. So do your boxing, I think, routine once a week, and you'll get used to it and you'll get in better shape. Pete, I can't imagine you hit anything.
Wait a second.
You box? When are you boxing?
I hit the heavy bag because it's a great workout.
It is, and people...
I do it on a cardio day. I do cardio, and then I'll hit the heavy bag for, I don't know, 10 minutes.
Our motto, or our club's
motto. On and off, by the way. Not for 10 minutes straight.
Yeah, you take a break.
Yeah.
We're getting fit without getting hit. So there is no punching of people. It's every bag workout.
Right.
You let your stress out in that bag, and you hit some stuff, but you won't get hit back.
One of the things I love about boxing is that you can hit, and you never get hit. You never get hit in the face. You never get hit anywhere. It's why I love it, because it's a great workout, and you get out your aggression.
I have 7 brothers. I've probably been hit in my face about 50 times in my life, and I'm not kidding. Yeah.
It's fun. It's an hour. We 15-minute warm-up, followed by half hour, 8 3-minute rounds of boxing in the heavy bag, mid-act rest finish round, and we end with a 15-minute countdown, a core workout. So we best shape your life, teach you some skills. We show you how to box, how to use your feet, how to pivot your wrist, how to throw your punches. And you learn how to have fun. It's more fun than anything else, and that's why people come back.
Well, that's what you want. You want people to enjoy it so they can continue to take the class, right?
Yeah. If it's not fun, no matter how tough you are or how good a shape you get in, you're not going to do it much. But if you enjoy it and it's an hour and you're like, wow, I can't play it just for an hour, I'm done. Hey, I want to do more. I want to hit more stuff.
Is it mostly men? I mean, from a female perspective, I've been in real boxing gyms. It's a lot of guys in there. Should women be intimidated by going into a boxing gym?
I tell people, we're like the Caesar's Palace of boxing clubs. It's really nice. Anything you want, it's really clean. Anything you need, we got it for you. Clientele is heavily women, about 70% plus women.
Okay.
And so it's inviting. Again, not a group workout, individual workout in a group setting. But it's clean, it's fun, it's... looks really jazzy. It's a great club.
Graham Goy in studio with us, Tidal Boxing Club. What's your website?
TBC West Loop or TBCSouthLoop.com.
Okay, so you got 2 locations in Chicago. Yeah. West Loop, South Loop. We're going to take a look at traffic, and I'm going to have you walk me through a class, because there's people listening that are intimidated by taking any type of class, especially boxing.
Sure.
So I'm going to have you walk through that after we take a look at traffic with Mary. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Jane Monzuris is here, also the owner and instructor of Tidal Boxing Club. It is Graham Goy in studio. Yes, that's his real name. So for people that have never taken a class, especially a boxing class, it's a little intimidating. I always tell them 90%, 95% is just showing up.
Right. That's the hardest part of the workout, is getting there. And once you're there, we tell you what to do. We show you how to do it. We motivate you. We get you moving. It's really is fun. It is intimidating because it's boxing, but because you're not getting hit, there's really.
Let me say that again. You're not getting hit. Okay, you're just moving your body and hitting a bag.
It's just a heavy bag workout.
Okay, so take us through a class. Give me a few things that you do during class.
Sure, it's an hour long. It's called the Power Hour. It begins with a 15-minute warm up. Clocks all running. These big screen TVs around the club. They count down 15 minutes. No gloves needed. We're going to get your heart rate up, sweat going, get you loose, kind of get the vibe in you, music's playing, get you pumped up. Think of pre-fight workout.
Got to have the music.
It's all the best.
Yeah.
It's bumping. 50 minutes, high knees, butt kickers. We stretch you out. We get you pumped, ready to go. Bell rings, 1-minute countdown, glove up, guys. Get them on, because in 1-minute countdown, we're going to start the next 8 rounds of boxing. So next half hour is 8 3-minute rounds of combination boxing.
Jeez, I'm tired already.
8 3-minute rounds, and you have the bell. So it's like you're in the ring.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Bell goes off. All right, guys, give me a jab cross hook. Speed jab cross.
So you walk everyone through it.
We do. We say it, we throw it, and we show it. We work both sides of the body, so we do switch stances. Real boxers don't. You're right or left-handed.
Right.
But we're fitness guys, so we switch stances, and we work out both sides. 2 to 3 combos around, switch stances at your own pace. 1-minute countdown. The last 30 seconds, burn out, guys, as fast as you can. Here, hurry it up. Give me some speed uppercuts as fast as you can. Bell rings. All right, guys, active rest. Get some water. Otherwise, for a minute, give me some lunges, some jumping jacks, some squats.
Of course, you have to do lunges.
Push-ups, yeah, burpees.
So, right.
Keep your heart rate up.
Keep the heart rate up.
Catch your breath.
Yeah.
After 1 minute, back to around 2, 3 minutes, I'm going to have 8 rounds like this.
Eight rounds.
Yeah. We do have actually 12-round classes as well. On the weekends, we have a 12-round, 75-minute class.
Oh, so a little bit longer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've taken class, and you're at the end of 3 minutes, and you're in round five. You can't wait for that take an active rest. Like, here, do some push-ups. I'm like, fabulous. I'm just laying on my belly because you're so spent. But it's such a great workout. And one of the things I love about boxing is if you are angry or you're stressed out or you're just something that's bothering you, instead of taking it out on someone you love or a coworker or a friend, you go to that ring, you listen to the commands, and you, whatever you're mad at, that bag becomes what you're angry at, and you get that anger out. At least that's what I do.
Right. It's we're like trainers, boxers, shrinks.
Yeah.
Right? It's like therapy, but less expensive.
I feel like you can do boxing anywhere.
I at home, when the road, shadow boxing is boxing without a bag. Just using your hands, swinging your hands in the air, combinations, get your heart rate up, get your kind of prepped, ready, to get your skills ready to go. Shadow up. No good boxer will get in the ring or start a 7-day workout without doing some warm up shadow boxing first. It's the same thing, but it's in the air. It's fun. You pretend you're hitting something or someone or. You know.
Maybe we should tell the president instead of tweeting out on Sunday mornings.
Get him a bag at the White House.
Yeah, take some boxing. Andy, you had a question for Graham?
Yeah, not about the classes per se, but about boxing in general. I finally watched a fight because it was on free TV the other day with Manny Pacquiao and Horn. How did Pacquiao lose that fight? He looked like he won it hands down.
It's a tough pill to swallow. Boxing is judged by judges, by people. There's no counters, there's nothing electronic about it. It's by people, and sometimes the more what is perceived to be aggressive boxer can steal a couple of rounds. It was surprising, but you know, he got the win.
Yeah, and you know, the aggressor was Horn if you watch the fight, but there was that situation in the ninth round where Pacquiao has him on the ropes and one punch away from probably putting him away with the knockout for the first time since 2009. The referee actually stepped in to Horn's corner and said he was going to stop the fight if he didn't show him something in the 10th round.
Right, and I mean, be an Australian fighter in Australia, it's...
Yeah, you wondered a little bit.
How old is Pacquiao? Why is he still boxing?
He's 38.
I mean, he's just doing it for a paycheck now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a legend, though.
I know he's a legend, but it's time to pack it up.
He's still got some quick... He's still pretty quick.
Yeah. I mean, he's getting towards the end, but he still has a big draw, and he brings in the fans. And we'll see how many he's got left, though.
And how about Floyd Mayweather taking on Conor McGregor?
Yeah, that's gonna be a
boxer versus a UFC fighter.
Yeah, he can't. Oh. You got to keep in mind he can't kick during this fight.
Yeah, and Floyd for money. Everything's for money nowadays. Yeah.
Floyd is one of the best defensive boxers ever. It's gonna be tough for McGregor to get a punch on Mayweather.
I ran into Floyd at a restaurant in Vegas, and I'm not kidding. He's like 5 feet tall.
Oh yeah,
he is so short. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You see him on TV and you think, oh, these guys are jacked. They're big. They're not. They're strong.
He looks like a fifth grader. I wouldn't say that to his face.
No, yeah. Then you'd be in the ring with him. One of the things I'm gonna bring it back to the workout because. Being a female, watching boxing wasn't really appealing to me all these years. But when I took up the boxing workout, and I can be honest with you, I haven't boxed in years. I used to box a lot when I lived in Atlanta. But I still love it, but I appreciate the sport of boxing because now I can look at it as a sport and as what these guys are, you know, where their mental game is at and where they're trying to go and get those points and get those hits. But when we do it, we don't get hit.
No. It's a chess match when you're in there in the ring. What's offensive? Where's your guy's footwork? What is he throwing? What's your counterpunch? It's all a chess match. It is a thinking man's sport.
Who's your favorite boxer of all time?
Triple G.
Triple G?
Triple G is really fast. He's really fun. He also gets a lot of knockouts. I think 40, maybe. I'm probably not right, but 40 fights, like 38 knockouts, 37 knockouts. Oscar De La Hoya is a man. He actually came to my club in the West Loop about 6 months ago and had an event in my club.
Really?
Taught some classes. I taught a class. And the Watchman speed bag. It's just
Could you imagine showing up at Title Boxing and there's Oscar De La Hoya teaching a class? Wait a second. This is my first class here. Pete McMurray told me just to show up.
Now I got Oscar De La Hoya teaching me what to do.
Growing up though, with Mike Tyson, everyone loves Mike Tyson. He was the... It was a spectacle.
I love the golden age of middleweights with Sugar too. Ray, Hagler, Hearns.
Good stuff.
That was just fun.
I love Sugar Ray Leonard.
Sugar Ray, yeah.
Roberto Duran.
Rocky.
No Mas, yeah.
Yeah.
The Rocky movies. I listen to the Rocky soundtrack when I work out. Is that weird?
No.
Okay, good.
That empowers you, doesn't it?
Graham, what is your website again? People can check it out.
So it's titleboxingclub.com and specifically TBC West Loop. Or TBC South Loop.
Got it. Graham Coy. Thanks for coming in, man.
Thank you very much.
Good to see you. Continue success.
Out with me, we'll go to boxing together.
You know what? I got a thing.
Yeah.
I got a thing. It's 720 WGN.
The General Assembly majority that's been in power for 35 years. So far, they haven't wanted to change anything. They like the status quo.
Oh, boy. 708. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris in for Steve Cochran. Steve is back on Wednesday joining us in studio. He is a former chairman for the Illinois Republican Party, a former federal and state prosecutor, currently a golfer, and he also works for Next Generation Strategies. It's Pat Brady. Wow, what a weekend in Springfield.
Yeah, it's amazing. Happy Independence Day as we wake up in Illinois. Speaker Madigan dumped a 32% permanent income tax increase and a corporate income tax increase on all citizens of the state.
Where does this come from?
Well, he could have done this 2 years ago.
Right. Where does it come from?
Well, this politically made sense for him because that's how he does everything, and he didn't want to do it early on. Well, let's even take a step further back. When the governor was elected and before he was sworn in, the income tax rate was at 5%. It was part of this sham 2011 66% tax increase. It expired. Instead of re-upping that agreement and saving the controversy and saving a lot of people a lot of pain in the state, Speaker Madigan made the political calculations. It's smarter to let it expire and fight with the governor for 2 years. Whereas he had a supermajority for the majority of the last 2 years, he could have passed this easily, but chose to do it the last minute of a special session costing the taxpayers millions and millions of dollars.
So when I hear about this over the weekend, you know, the tax bill was delayed because he introduced this. What do the Democrats say? What do they say? Oh, here's Madigan again. Okay, well, I guess we have to go along with him.
Well, I think there are a lot of good rank-and-file Democrats that do have an interest in seeing the state move forward, and they have constituents that cry out for some of these things. And so I'm not putting it on the rank-and-file Democrats, but the Speaker rules with an iron fist down there. There's too much centralization of power in one man for the last 35 years. He controls the entire process, legislative process, including the political process for the Democrats. So what we've got, again, as I said, the Speaker gave the Independence Day present for the people in this state is a 32% permanent income tax increase, but even more, adding insult to injury, no reforms, no property tax relief. And this is after 18, 20 months of the Speaker saying, I'm here for middle working class Americans.
Right.
Well, this is probably, it calculates out to, I'm guessing, I haven't done it, but last time we went through this, basically a week's pay is going to go to pay for this tax increase with no reforms, the same old stuff, no reforms.
They wanted to take the income tax level from 3.75% to 4.95%. Madigan spending plan, $36.5 billion plan. The state only brings in $32 billion. So they need to find money somewhere.
Well, this is closer to balance, not truly balanced, but closer to balance. But we still haven't, the Speaker hasn't dealt with the $15 billion with a B in unpaid bills, which I understand will probably have to be solved by some type of borrowing plan. And you know what interest rates we get here in Illinois under borrowing plans. We saw last week the city of Chicago had to borrow money and we pay $70,000 a day.
$70,000 a day
in interest payments. So
they don't even chip away at that $15 billion first. That's a whole separate thing.
It's a whole separate thing.
So what do you do about that?
Well, I guess they're going to have to come up with some kind of borrowing plan. But the point is, and the governor made the point in that intro, it's the same old stuff we've been having for the last 35 years. Mm-hmm. And this is how the Speaker operates. A last-minute dump, a 600-page bill on the desks of the people in the House, expect them to vote on it right away. And this is where a lot of bad things happen because nobody really knows what's in it.
We had Rick Pearson, the political writer for the Tribune, of course, the host of Sunday Spin on Friday. And we asked him, if a budget was passed today, how long would it take to catch up?
I don't really. Do you mean to catch up with the past due bills?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's take another history.
He said 15, 20 years.
Possibly. But remember in 2011 when the Democrats and Governor Quinn pushed the quote-unquote temporary 66% tax increase, that was supposed to go to pay past due bills. It didn't. It went to make pension payments. And again, back to the reform argument,
yep.
If we don't get true reform of the pension system, I think we owe $200 billion to the
Where do you get
pension.
That money? Where is this money coming from?
We don't know, but there needs to, going forward, it needs to be reformed. We can't dig the hole even deeper. And we have constitutional protections on the pensions, and those that have been promised pensions are entitled to get it. But going forward, we need some reform. But the holdup is that those recipients of those pensions, the leadership donates heavily to the speaker. And the speaker's going to do whatever he can to protect his majority and protect
3% increase every year every with year. Those pensions.
You know, and that's not that, listen, that's a Jim Thompson thing. So that there's blame to go around. But the point is, this problem's been around. Some people are suggesting that we might need a constitutional convention to amend the Constitution to allow these pensions to be amended so it fits with the realities of today's economy.
So didn't Rauner, though, isn't he going to veto what they just voted on?
Yeah, he's going to veto it, but there's enough votes for an override. Remember, we're beyond, we're in a special session, so they need 71 votes and 36 in the Senate. Looks like the votes are there for an override.
So what's going to happen in the next few days?
Well, you're going to get a big, fat tax increase.
Right. Yep.
And with no property tax relief. I paid my property taxes. I paid them last month, and I'll pay the next installment in September. And when I'm done paying my property taxes, I will have paid more in property tax than I made in my first year as a lawyer out of law school. That's how ridiculous.
Wow. It's so frustrating.
Well, you know what? Also, not just the amount, but the rigged game here in Chicago. At the same time this is all going on, right. The middle and lower income people are getting killed. J.B. Pritzker's getting a $250,000 tax rebate on one of his mansions
because
on
he took a
Drive.
Toilet out.
Took a toilet out.
I got to remember that, by the way.
Yeah, he took five toilets out. Yeah, take your toilets out and you get a big tax break. But I think people are fed up with no relief, no reform, same old, and the rigged system, particularly as we saw in that Tribune series.
Yeah, so no relief, no reform, rigged system. What keeps Illinois people in Illinois? What do we
do?
Keep
borrowing money. It's got to blow up sometime.
Exactly. And now we got a tax increase. We're going to get it closer to a balanced budget. But the tax increase, which a lot of Republicans, including the governor, said they might have been on board with if we get some reforms.
Yeah.
And the governor's emphasis has been a balanced budget, which we haven't had in 15 years. But we also need more taxpayers, not more taxes. We need more jobs. We need to grow the economy. There's two sides to this. And the Democrats are just committed, Speaker Madigan, I should say, just committed to more taxation without any regard for job growth through workers' comp reform.
Does Mike Madigan care?
I don't think so. Do you think he really cares? You saw what happened in the last four. Do you think he really cares about any of this?
I mean, the last 3 days with him, I just can't believe it. Everybody wants a balanced budget. We got to move on. It's time.
Even the Democrats, some of the Democrats running for governor were saying that he doesn't care about anything but keeping his majority. That's not just a partisan former party chair saying that. That's the people in Springfield that believe that. But as long as he's still there and as long as he still controls things, this is what we're going to get. And it's the same. I've been watching it for years. It's the same story.
So, I mean, I was reading some articles about this, and I'll admit I'm not the first person to know everything that's going on in the Illinois state politics, probably because there's no, you know, ending in sight. But I'm reading this and it says, sounds like there was screaming and heckling in the Congress. They're screaming at him. These members of Congress are yelling at each other. Does that happen all the time?
No, and I was down there during a good chunk of this, and there are a lot of people on both sides of the aisle and the rank and file that are very passionate about doing the right thing and are truly concerned about the welfare of the state and their constituents. That's why you saw some Republican votes on this, because some of those votes from downstaters or people that live in districts where their universities are really hurting, and they felt they had to do this. This is a position that Madigan put him into. That's just probably the part of his grand strategy to stretch us out for 2 years, but they truly do care. But again, there's too much centralization of power in the legislative process and political process for Democrats. And Mike Madigan, as you said, he doesn't care.
Thank God for New Jersey.
Yes.
I mean, Chris Christie.
He's at 15% approval.
15%. Yeah. They don't have a budget either. That's why I brought it up, because they were on national news yesterday. He went to the beach. The beaches are closed there because they don't have any money.
Yeah.
There's no budget. And then he took his family to the beach.
Yeah. 11 states, I understand, didn't get budgets. Nobody had gone as long as we have. But we will actually have a budget. But Chris Christie's at 15%. And I do believe when Rod Blagojevich was arrested the next day, he pulled at 13%.
God, we'd laugh, but it's just so sad. Pat Brady in studio with us. You can follow. What's your Twitter? Do you tweet a lot?
I do. Pat_Brady.
Okay. Pat_Brady. The president released a tweet yesterday morning that we're going to talk about next after traffic with Mary.
I think it's time to stop playing chicken with the fifth largest state in the union. I was not elected as a state legislator to help preside over the financial destruction of this great state.
720 WGN, that was David Harris from Arlington Heights yesterday. It's getting heated, wow. Isn't it?
Yeah, but it settled down after yesterday. We had the vote, the revenue and the spending bills vote. Now just go to the governor's going to it's going to go back to the Senate for concurrence, and the governor said veto it.
Pat Brady in studio with us.
I think that it'll be just a straight up veto, and I think I'm fairly confident it'll be overridden. I think that's what's going to happen.
So we're going to see an income tax increase by 32%.
Yep, happy 4th of July. 32%.
You never bring me good news.
Not just a permanent income tax. This isn't like 2011 where it was temporary. So this is arguably the largest income tax in the history of the state. A permanent 32% income tax increase brought to you by Mike Madigan.
What does that mean for the normal person?
Like I said before, I haven't calculated it out, but it's probably a week's pay.
A week's pay you're giving our state government.
So it's 32% on top of what we already pay.
Well, 30% increase. It's going to go from 3% to 4.95%. Right. Plus, there's a corporate income tax increase.
Why do people want to stay in the state?
They should want to stay in the state. It's a great place. We're sitting in the greatest city in the world.
I've never lived outside the state. I agree with you.
Yeah,
but
there's no reason for. Well, it's bad public policy. But the point is, we can change this. We live in a Republican, the democracy. We can get rid of Mike Madigan, and I think things will go a lot better. We've got an election coming up in 2 years, and maybe it's time we get it done.
President Trump yesterday tweeted a video of himself at WrestleMania 23 slamming Vince McMahon instead of Vince's face, a CNN logo superimposed. Your first thought when you saw it?
Another low point for the presidency is diminishing the stature of the office. He's a leader of the free world. That is conduct well below what you'd expect. But the political calculation is that the people that support him, which he spends most of his day trying to appeal to, like that. They think the media.
They love it.
They think they're evil. They think Donald Trump's been not treated fairly, and they love it. Now, 55, 56, 58% of the rest of the country doesn't feel that way, but that's what he's done all along, all the way through from the minute he started his campaign.
Why should we be shocked? Every weekend we get a tweet, but when we saw the video, and Jane brought this up earlier, who put it together, and was he involved in?
Was this 10, 11 years ago, though, right?
Was it?
Yeah, I don't think
it
this was
2007 was the original.
Oh, the original video. Yeah. I'm talking about the
who
CNN logo.
Yeah, who edited it with this new logo? Whose idea? Was it
who thought
idea?
It, who thought it was a good idea?
Yeah.
Doesn't he have a
probably the president, nobody else. I don't think, I know the people that work close to him that are a lot smarter than that.
Right.
That would not think this is a great idea.
So he's tweeting this out. Shouldn't he be focused on something else?
Did you? Well, 48 hours earlier, he sent out one of the worst tweets of all the tweets referring to Mika on MSNBC about her face in the face.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's on top of the tape we got of him talking about grabbing what he talked about grabbing. So I don't think you can go any lower.
This is the president of the United States. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. Haven't gotten it all the
way
through.
And he doesn't care. This behavior is going to go on for another 3.5 years.
But I know we've all been saying this for years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem to hurt him politically. And the if everything,
but why are we putting up with it?
We're not. I'm not putting up with it.
I am not putting up with it.
Ridiculous.
But it's accepted behavior now. I guess you're right. We don't have a choice.
Well, we do have an election coming up.
We do. Yes.
In 2 years. But the reality is, his political base likes this. And there's another theory that may have some truth to it. There are a lot of things getting done in Congress and through the regulators right now that a lot of Republicans like that maybe he's trying to distract from, because he's had this health care bill is not going well in the Senate and other things, and some of the foreign policy things aren't going so well. Maybe he's smarter than we think, and this is just a big distraction.
Right,
I don't know. That's
distractor.
A theory. I'm not saying if I believe that or not, but
you could be right.
Another theory.
Senator Bill Sass of Nebraska introduced a repeal and replace at a later date. What is this?
I think there's an argument on whether or not to do it at once, repeal and replace, or just repeal and then figure out what we're going to do later. So there's kind of two tracks between the moderates and the conservatives on what to do with this, because there is a problem. We're going to, if you're going to have 20 million people go off their health care, the other argument is some of these 20 million people wouldn't have bought health care unless the government forced them to buy it.
Right.
But the deal that was made 7-8 years ago was put more people on Medicaid in the states, the feds will pay for it, and then they'll quit paying for it after a while. So that's the rub here. So it's very complicated. There's two or three tracks, but that's one of them where you split up the repeal and replace.
What's going to happen with the health care bill?
I don't think anybody really knows right now, but they're having problems in the Senate. They'll be back this week, but there is a definite divide amongst the conservatives and the moderates on the Republican side on how to handle this. You have kind of the John Kasich wing, the governor of Ohio.
Right.
And then you have the far
right.
Who
was very outspoken yesterday.
Yeah, and then you have the—
Kasich's had it, man.
Well, I think Kasich's primed himself to run, and I think he's trying to carve out a middle position, which the country may be ready for after 4 years of what we've seen from Donald Trump. That's what he tried.
Do you like Kasich?
Yeah, I was.
I thought he was fantastic in the debates, but he didn't get enough credit.
I was a Kasich delegate. I got elected.
Were
even
you really?
In Illinois when Trump won, I got elected. I don't know how I got elected. They probably thought I was. Didn't know if I was a man or a woman. They both voted for me.
He seems to make sense. That's the thing. That's funny. Kasich makes sense to me.
Yeah, he's been he's as popular with Democrats in Ohio as he is with Republicans. And maybe there's a lesson here through all this discussion. Maybe people don't want you to tweet. They don't want you to go to Springfield and fight. Maybe people just want you to get something done.
Yeah.
And make the place run better. Maybe there's a good lesson there.
Wow, man.
Keep smiling. It's not all bad.
I like that. What's the silver lining? What are we looking forward to?
It's 4th of July. Okay. We live in the greatest country in the world. It's going to be 80 degrees, and I'm going to go play another 50 holes of golf today.
Tell everybody what you told us off the air. 55 holes of golf on Saturday?
We teed off at 7:30 and quit at 4. They played my brother Kevin out at Tamarack, and by the time I got done, my left arm was kind of numb, so I had
I'm shocked.
Couple beers and some Advils, and I was ready to go next day.
Before you go, anything happened today in Springfield? I mean, we're going to see the income tax.
They're down there. The Senate is back today.
Yep.
Today's Monday, right? I keep thinking it's Sunday.
Yep.
So it'll go back. The bills will go back. The two bills will go back for concurrence in the Senate, and then they ship it off to the governor's desk. I think the governor has said in his statement anyway he will veto it immediately, and then they'll have to stay to do the override votes. So there's still some process to go, but everybody that I talked to down there tells me that he will veto it, it'll be overridden, and it'll become law.
Who gets blamed for this, Madigan, Rauner, or both?
Clearly, if you see the headlines today, it's Madigan.
Madigan.
The Sun-Times, it was Madigan's tax increase.
His face on the front page.
And
I just don't get the
game. This
games.
Is his legislation.
I don't understand it.
Things, Rauner, the governor probably would have gone along with some kind of tax increase if we would have had some reforms or property tax relief, work comp reform. How about term limits?
Yeah,
I don't think at this point people understand that we may need to come up with some more revenue, but we can't just dump more money into the black hole. We want to make the system work better for everybody.
It's got to change.
This is the same stuff we saw in 2000.
And there's one man holding it back, Mike Madigan.
Yep.
But that doesn't stop everybody that's there right now from marching in parades tomorrow.
Right.
Listen, I'm not the rank and file on both sides.
They will be there.
Have done everything they can. There's some really good people, and that passion you heard in those speeches is real from David Harris and others. It's real.
They're fed up.
They're fed up. But you can't give up on the system. We just have a problem at the top. But maybe now we can focus on some of those reforms that we have this revenue issue gone.
@Pat_Brady. If people want to find you, what's your...
Today on golf course.
Next Generation Strategies, right?
Yes. I like it. Don't give up on the system. I like that.
Don't give up. Thanks for coming
Happy 4th, guys. Good to see you. Thanks.
Good to see you. I don't know if I like having Pat on the show or if I hate having Pat on the
show. I love having Pat on the show because I understand what he's talking about.
I understand that, but it's never good news.
No, there is good news. You live in the greatest country in America.
Yep.
You can go golfing today.
Yep.
And don't give up on the system.
I have to mow the lawn today.
Those are your three takeaways.
I wish I could do that. 7:38, Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris, and for Steve Cochran, he'll be back on Wednesday. 4th of July in Chicago means fireworks and meat on a stick.
And it means a lot more things too, Pete. Parades and?
And?
.. That was for you to keep going.
Oh, yeah. The joining us in studio is the spokesperson for the Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events. It's Mary May. I told you I'd read that entire title. Good to see you.
Good morning.
And the manager of Taste of Chicago. It's Mary Slowick. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Let's talk fireworks first.
Well, you know, fireworks, it's a big thing here in Chicago for the 4th of July. Well, there will be fireworks at Navy Pier at 9:30 p.m. tomorrow night. But really the best place to watch them, not only along the lakefront, but in Millennium Park. The Grant Park Music Festival has their annual Independence Day concert on July 4th as well.
How many years has that been going on?
A number of years. I don't have the exact number.
No, because
but,
lots of number of years, because I would go as a child, like a 5-6-year-old. We would go to, it wasn't Millennium Park, but it was the Grant Park 4th of July Music Festival, and we would go with the family. Much fun.
Are they playing music along with the fireworks?
Oh, absolutely. Lots of patriotic music. Stars and Stripes Forever, the Armed Forces Salute, the 1812 Overture, all your patriotic favorite tunes.
That's great. Yeah. So July 3rd, no fireworks tonight, but tomorrow night at Navy Pier.
Tomorrow night at Navy Pier, and head out to Millennium Park. Pack a picnic, listen to some great music, and enjoy the fireworks.
It's crazy when you drive downtown during fireworks. People are just all over the sidewalks. They're on any green they can find. It's great.
Absolutely.
It's so fun. Can you also watch from Navy Pier, or is that shut down because...
I believe you can watch from Navy Pier. You know, and so many people pack the beaches and the lakefront, so... You know, come on down.
Well, they get there early in the day, and they make a day out of it, and they cook all day on the grill.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, you can also come down to Millennium Park. They have a rehearsal for the evening's concert at 11 a.m. tomorrow. So you can, if you're not going to be able to make the concert, you can always come down and listen to it during the rehearsal at 11 a.m.
We'll be on the air tomorrow at 11. We'll open a window.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But you also almost have to get there that early to get a good spot.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then, you can drive down. But I remember getting stuck in the parking lot, you know, the low underneath.
You don't want to get stuck down there.
No, so I would say public transportation is the best way to get into the city.
Yes. Public transportation is key.
Yes. Yeah. And Taste of Chicago starts on Wednesday.
Yes, July 5th, and we run through Sunday, July 9th.
And Mary, you sample all the food. Is that right?
I do. I sample all the food, and I gain about 30 pounds.
One of my fondest memories, I grew up in Peoria, and my high school girlfriend moved to Chicago. Yes. And when I was in high school, I came to Chicago, and we went to Taste of Chicago. I'm like, oh, my God. So every year it comes around, I think of her.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Which is a little weird, so don't tell my wife. Okay.
Nobody will tell.
But deep dish pizza, meat on a stick. What sticks out this year?
So we have 66 restaurants this year. 16 of them are new. We've got 6 new food trucks, 7 new pop-up restaurants, which are the restaurants that just come for 1 or 2 days each. And
Give me an example of a pop-up restaurant.
Okay, Broken English Taco Pub.
God, that sounds fantastic.
It sure does.
Is an example of a pop-up restaurant. Hakabaka Indian Kati Rolls.
What'd you call me? What was that?
Hakabaka Indian Kati Rolls. Just Salad is a new restaurant. The Little Beet Table is a new pop-up restaurant. Warm Belly Bakery is a new pop-up restaurant.
So they're only there for a few days and then they're gone.
Correct. So we started the pop-up program several years ago, and it's designed to get the restaurants who normally would not participate all 5 days to try taste out. And it's for the more... all the restaurants at Taste of Chicago are wonderful. This is for the more boutique-y, neighborhoodly restaurants to participate.
Right.
Maybe more manageable for them, too, instead of committing to the full 4 days.
Right.
And I know we switched it to a shorter period of time several years ago, because I remember when it used to be 3 weeks long and 2 weeks long.
God, it lasted forever.
I used to work right next door at the Equitable Building, and we would walk down and have lunch and then come back. I mean, I don't know what I was doing or how old I was, but that's what we did. But we did it every day, it felt like, for the entire month of July. How do you like the shorter period of time? Does it work? Is it a better impact for the city?
It does work, and it is a great economic impact to the city. We estimate that $106 million of economic impact is the result of Taste of Chicago. But moving it from 10 days to 5 days really is a less doesn't incur as much risk for the city and doesn't tie up traffic. I mean, you know, when you close the streets down for 3 weeks, that's a long time. So we try to minimize that now.
I like it because it used to go on and on and on. And now it's like, if you want to go, you have 4 days.
Right. And 5 days. It is like action packed. Every day there's something new.
Also music.
Yes.
Who do we have this year?
Well, we've got great headliners at the Petrillo Music Show. We have Alessia Cara on Wednesday. On Thursday, we're going to have the whole day. We were calling it Sabor Day Chicago, and it's a whole salute to the Latin community. And we're going to have Cafe Tacuba and Eso Afro Jam Funk Beat at the Petrillo Music Show. That's very popular. On July 7th, we're going to have Ben Harper and the Innocent Criminals Twin Peaks. On Saturday, Passion Pit and the Kickback. And on Sunday, the OJs with Maurice Jackson's Independence. Plus, we have, first of all of the opening acts at the Petrillo Music Show this year are local acts. They're all from Chicago. Plus, we have our Bud Light stage, which features the best of Chicago's local music scene. And that's in operation all hours of the event.
How long does it take to put this thing together? Because it's a city within a city.
Mm-hmm.
We start planning for Taste immediately following the last one.
Where is your downtime? Do they give you a week?
No,
take a week vacation, and then we got to plan next year.
I mean, there's a lot of wrap-up that goes on. There's a lot of planning for next year. You know, like now, we're already planning for next year. What are we going to change? What are we going to do differently? So it is a constantly evolving festival.
One of the things I love is that Chicago is really a foodie town, right? We love our restaurants. We love our food. And Taste of Chicago is all about food.
Right.
You've incorporated cooking demonstrations.
Oh, yeah. We have the Lifeway Taste Kitchen, which features all day long, you can come see some of the celebrity chefs perform, do their cooking demos. And what's really exciting is that each day at about 2 o'clock, the celebrity chefs from our Celebrity Chef du Jour program come over and do a cooking demo. So, for example, we have Paul Feuerbach from Big Jones, who's there on Wednesday. Chef Chico Vilches from Nacional 27 there on Thursday. Chef Oliver Poilievre, who's, I don't know if you remember, but last year his dad, Jean-Claude Poilievre, was killed in a car accident, and this is a salute to him. He was the chef of Les Bouchons in La Sardine.
Yeah.
So this is a really great opportunity. On Saturday, we're going to have the American Girl Cafe Brunch. So moms and dads and their daughters and sons, if they like American Girl dolls, can all come down. You can get.
Huge.
I've always wanted to go to brunch at American Girl at Water Tower.
And tickets are available for that on tasteofchicago.us.
Well, I love that you have the celebrity chefs during the day because I feel like more kids are involved with these TV shows than adults are.
Right.
I mean, I look at my son and his friends. They all love these cooking shows.
Right. And another thing is on Saturday and Sunday, which is our family-friendly days, we open an hour early at 10 a.m. to get families down there. Chicago Parent Magazine is going to host a kids festival on the Taste grounds, and they're going to have cooking demonstrations as well.
Do you have a Taste of Chicago app?
We do have a Taste of Chicago app.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay. So people can download that and follow that along. It's so easy.
Right.
And Mary May, you're in charge of special events. Are you involved with Lollapalooza at all?
No, we're not in charge of Lollapalooza. But we do all the other city festivals, the Blues Festival, Taste of Chicago, the upcoming Jazz Festival, World Music Festival, the Air and Water Show, Millennium Park.
So it never ends.
Never ends.
When is the Air and Water Show? It's usually, the third weekend in August?
It is August 19th and 20th.
Okay, 19th and 20th. How many people along the lakefront for that?
A lot.
2 million, 3 million.
Not just along the lakefront, but on the lake.
God, it's just crazy.
Yes.
I mean, people are camped out. You want to talk about camped out for days.
For for the Aaron Water Show.
That is
fun. Oh, you
got
to get to the right party, the right place, a good spot.
Best rooftop.
Yeah, best rooftop. Do you still do Venetian Night with the beautiful boats and all the lights?
No. We haven't done Venetian Night for a couple of years. It has been at Navy Pier the last couple of years, I believe. But
I went one year.
Yeah.
How do you decide on these things to bring to Chicago?
You know, we have a lot of events that have been, I mean, just long-running events that have been around for years.
Blues Fest, Jazz Fest.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
Aaron
that
Water
are,
Show.
That are so traditional.
Taste of Chicago.
And, yeah, and just so kind of ingrained in the city, you know, during the summer. And we're always trying to refresh them. We're always trying to make them more fun. But, you know, people love them and come, you know,
it's
every
year. It's a tradition for a lot of people to come downtown for Taste of Chicago.
And they're free admission.
How many years has it been for Taste?
37 years.
37. Wow. Now, wasn't it Arnie Morton that originally started this back
in
the day?
Yes, and I think it happened right in front of your studio here.
Yeah.
So Arnie and a group of restaurateurs got together, and they started the first Taste of Chicago in 1980. I believe it was on July 4th. And it was so popular that 2 years later, I believe, it was moved to Grant Park.
And how did it work with Arnie? I know his son, Michael, and Michael has told the story how he started it, but did he have a grill out there? Was he cooking steaks? Arnie Morton Steakhouse. Yeah. I mean, what was it?
Well, you know what? I was not here for the first one. However, I can tell you that for many years, Arnie's, which used to be in the Newberry Plaza, used to serve these amazing petite filet mignon sandwiches.
I love the steak sandwiches.
Oh, my gosh, with the horseradish sauce.
Oh, it's so good.
It was to die for.
God, I love it.
When you're running around at the Taste of Chicago, Mary, do you, is there a go-to? Or you're like, I have to go eat this food. Because you're working, but yet you know exactly who's going to be there. You know what's going on.
Well, I like to try something new. Mm-hmm. Each year there are new restaurants. But I would say that my mainstays, I always have Lou Malnati's pizza and their chopped salad. And I always manage to get a slice of Eli's cheesecake in.
Do we have the turkey legs this year?
We do have the turkey legs.
The big turkey legs. You're not eating
Miller's Pub.
Walking around barefoot?
Miller's Pub is serving turkey legs, and they are located at Congress and Columbus.
Got it. I've been to Miller's Pub many times.
I feel like I'm going to be spending a lot of time in Millennium Park for the fireworks and then the taste.
Where did the meat on a stick?
Grant Park.
Where did that come from, meat on a stick?
Meat on a stick. You know what? I think that's just an easier way for people to walk and eat at the same time.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Okay.
But it sure is convenient.
It does make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Mary May and Mary Slowick, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Good to see you guys.
Thanks,
and people can go to the City of Chicago website?
Yes, for Taste of Chicago, it's tasteofchicago.us. Millennium Park is millenniumpark.org.
But we encourage people to download the app because it'll make your life much easier.
Right. Yes, everybody and Millennium Park has an app as well. So.
Oh.
It does?
I know, yeah.
Damn.
I know.
I like that.
I know.
Mary and Mary, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
It's 720 WGN. It's 7:55. Coming up at 8:20, there was a local guy that won the Nathan's hot dog eating contest at Ribfest this weekend. He's going to Coney Island. His name is Juan Rodriguez. We're going to talk to him at 8:20. He sent me an email earlier. He said, I'm training right now, but I'll take a break and come on the radio.
My stomach hurts just talking about it.
He's training. That means he's eating, right?
Yeah, it has to be.
He's a personal trainer.
This guy is a trainer, too. He's skinny.
Well, a lot of competitive eaters are really thin.
High metabolism.
Yeah, because they eat so much.
At One More Bite, if you want to follow him on Twitter.
Why do I keep hearing Phil Collins in my head?
What do you mean?
One More Bite.
Jane's been obsessed with something this morning that we need to discuss. It is Jewel's new mascot.
Well, you know I love the Jewels, right?
Uh-huh.
And you know that I love to grocery shop. I go every single day because I'm Greek, and that's what we do. We always have to get fresh food.
Yeah.
So Jewel has a new mascot, and his name is JoJo. And JoJo has one eye. Have you seen
JoJo
the picture
is
of JoJo?
A cyclops.
JoJo is red.
Mm-hmm.
He's just round, and he has one gigantic eyeball. Here's the thing. If you're going to have a mascot, I think it's fine. Can't he have two eyes?
Yeah.
What's wrong with the one eye? I don't have a problem
with
it.
Scary.
And why does Jewel need a mascot?
Everybody needs a mascot.
Why? I don't get it. He looks like the Cookie Monster to me.
He looks like
kind of furry and red. And
yes, the Cookie Monster, like the mashed with the Kool-Aid Man.
And Elmo.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with it. I think it's cute and cuddly. The one eye could scare kids, but I think it works. What was the animated movie Billy Crystal played the one-eyed character?
Oh, it was Monsters, Inc., right?
Yeah, Monsters, Inc. Yeah. Kind of reminds me of that.
It, or if it was yellow, it would be like a minion.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I still, I don't know. If I'm at Jewel and I want to, I love Jewel. I'm not going to stop going. And in fact,
JoJo walks over to you, are you going to be freaked out? Or
I'm
going to
take a picture with JoJo.
Okay.
But I'm giving some eyeliner.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know, though. Is JoJo going to make the rounds and hit all the jewels?
Of course. They're going to farm out JoJo. He's going everywhere. Absolutely.
And his one eye never blinks.
Just wait for the Twitter account. Where's JoJo?
And who's the person that's inside JoJo?
And how does he see?
What do you mean, inside? See. JoJo is his own thing.
He stares.
JoJo is a JoJo. I tweeted out the picture, if you want to check it out on Twitter, at Pete McMurray, of JoJo the Cyclops.
It's like 70s, maybe, sort of trippy.
I think it works. Yeah. Jewel can do no wrong, in my eyes.
I love Jewel. How old is JoJo?
JoJo is in grammar school. In my head. What did you guys think? How old's JoJo?
75.
Okay.
I like JoJo.
Yeah.
If I get a picture with him, I'll post it.
I think it works.
I'm going to find him this weekend.
Well, I'm sure there's a schedule.
Yeah.
I don't have the article of the schedule, but I will get it.
Yeah, just, you know, there's this thing called Google.
Does and he
just
cry, out... JoJo?
Just out of one eye.
Those are crocodile tears, man. Those are big. One eye crying like that. That's just nuts. I love it. I love that Jewel has a mascot now with one eye.
Where does JoJo go grocery shopping?
Jewel.
Okay.
Produce.
Does he bring his own bags?
That was my visual, by the way. JoJo at Jewel was hanging out in produce. I don't know about anybody else. Maybe the meat area.
Yeah.
But produce.
Looks
JoJo.
Like a, looks I'm like in a the kidney bakery. Bean.
So congratulations
yes,
to Jewel.
Does look like a kidney bean. All
right. It's a minute before 8. It's 7:20 WGN. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris, Steve Cochran back on Wednesday. Real quick, before we do entertainment news, Dean is off today. Jane's got the news. I want to say hello to Mary over at Amazing Costumes. Mary did the costume for JoJo at Jewel.
I love it.
Mary, of course, Chicago costume and a longtime listener to WGN.
But I love that Jewel has a mascot.
And you can thank Mary for that.
Thank you, Mary.
With the Cyclops. All right, what do you have for us today?
Yeah, entertainment news. Well, we were talking about Wimbledon earlier today. Who debuted a new shorter haircut there? Well, the one and only Princess Kate. So she shows up for the very first match of Wimbledon today, showing a new haircut, meeting all of her fans.
Oh, I loved her with long hair.
I did, too.
Well, she looks good with short hair, too,
I'm
guys.
Sure she does.
It's not hot in the summer, you know. You got to shorten it up a little.
How beautiful is she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It only goes to her shoulders, so it's still in still long.
Okay.
It's not like a little pixie cut or anything like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but the rumor has it she's pregnant. I'm not sure if that's really true or not. I
with
think
number three?
Yeah.
She just had a baby.
That baby is two, Charlotte.
Really?
Yeah.
Boy, they're cranking these puppies out, aren't they?
Good for them. Yeah.
Wow.
She calls it a quintessential part of the English summer to show up at Wimbledon.
All right.
I love it.
Very likable couple, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you want to be their friend?
I do.
Have a spot of tea?
But would you rather hang out with the prince or Prince Harry? Harry. You want to hang out with Harry.
Harry
will have a few beers and hang out.
You want to bring Harry to the next rooftop party. Mm-hmm. Speaking of hanging out with people, Beyonce and Jay-Z, of course, they had their babies a couple weeks ago. I think it was June 12th. They were born premature, but we finally have found out the names. Can you can guess. What are the names?
Wow.
Do you know?
They're going to be crazy. I know that.
Not too bad. Andy? No? Nope. Mary,
Beyonce,
any guess on their names?
Jay-Z.
Wait, are they, what are their sexes?
It's a boy and a girl. Not Beyonce and Jay-Z. Okay.
Well, we got the Blue Ivy, so something with colors.
No, actually.
Green tulip. And
that's good.
Yeah, pink rose.
That's a good guess. Pink rose?
At least Mary guessed.
Actually, pink rose works. That works for me. I like that.
It's pink rose Carter. It is pretty cute. Yeah. Rumi and Sir Carter.
What?
What?
Yeah.
The R-O-O-M-I-E?
R-U-M-I. Maybe it's Rummy. I say Rumi, Rummy.
Rummy, Rumi?
Rummy. Okay. Rummy Carter.
Rummy would be R-U-M-M-Y, like the game Rummy.
So it's R-U-M-I.
Rummy or Rumi? Okay.
It's a 13th century Parisian poet by the name of.
Poet.
Okay. Sir Carter.
Sir.
S-I-R? S-I-R.
That's it.
Sir Carter. I'm guessing that's the boy, right?
I just don't understand it.
I'm not mad about the names. I like it. Sir Carter sounds kind of cool.
Gwyneth Paltrow,
Sir and Ma'am.
Yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow named her kid Apple.
Yeah.
Come on.
Apple and Bacon. No.
Names have to have meanings to me.
Like, no, Moses is the other kid's name.
Yeah,
Moses.
Apple and Moses.
I wish his name was Bacon.
Well, Moses was a prophet. Part of the sea.
Sir. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Forever. Big news for Maria Menounos. She revealed that she was diagnosed with a brain tumor. I know.
What?
I know. Her mother has stage 4 brain cancer. And while she's helping her mother and taking care of her mom, she gets diagnosed with a brain tumor. Said she was lightheaded, couldn't read the teleprompter. She was having headaches. Her speech was slurred.
What?
And then they found a golf ball size tumor. It's benign. So that's good.
You're kidding.
Yeah, 99.9% of it they got out. She had surgery.
Was it cancerous?
June 8th. No, not cancerous.
They found a benign tumor in her head.
Yes.
Wow.
And she's had the surgery. She's recovering. She's with her mom. Surgery, she had it on her 39th birthday.
Oh, my God.
I know.
And her mother has brain cancer.
Yes. Yeah.
So wow.
Her mom's still battling cancer. Good thing that they were able to take care of Maria and get rid of that tumor. 99.9%, they said, we've got it all. It's not going to come back.
Your Greek cousin.
My Greek cousin. Shocking, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a rough one.
I know. But we wish her well because we love Maria Menounos. And I can't believe this, fellas. Pamela Anderson had a birthday over the weekend, July 1st. She is 50 years old.
First of all, I love Pam, but then I met her about 8 years ago when she was
Pam.
42. She looked like a beaten-up prostitute. She looked weathered.
Really?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
I believe that she's 50.
You do
believe
she's 50?
She seems like she's been 50 for a while. I don't know. Maybe because she does look a little.
Again, the visual.
Yeah.
Pam Anderson. As soon as Jane mentioned it, what came to mind? Red swimsuit?
Baywatch, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, I think of her in Barbed Wire, where she didn't, I mean, she
Barbed,
looked...
no one watched that movie. Baywatch, the red swimsuit.
Know, Barbed Wire.
Carrying the little floaty.
Slow
and she
motion
was gonna
running.
Save me, yes. Yeah.
Well, she's 50.
Okay.
Congratulations.
All right.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
Really.
Anyone seeing movies over the weekend, Pete?
I'm going to go see Despicable Me 3 with Charlie, and Spider-Man opens tomorrow, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to go sit in a movie theater when it's so nice outside.
Yeah, but Despicable Me 3 is a big movie.
It is a big movie. Came in number one over the weekend. You still got a couple more days to see it. 75 million. Baby Driver. You know that one?
It's supposed to be super good. Yeah, because John Hamm's in it.
Yeah, Dean loved that movie.
Yeah, John Hamm's in it.
Yeah.
A lot of people say I look like a young John Hamm. Appreciate that, guys.
I thought you looked like Roger Federer.
Right.
Wonder Woman's still out there doing well. I do want to see Wonder Woman. I will say that.
Me too. Yeah.
What are you waiting on? It's been out a month. They're going to pull it.
You know what I saw?
On demand.
I saw that movie Get Out. Did you see Get Out yet?
What is Get Out?
Oh, that's the one. It's an interracial couple, and she brings her boyfriend home to meet the family, and all these weird things happen. It's kind of like Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, but...
Is it a comedy or a drama?
Oh, it's everything. No, it's not a comedy. No.
So it's a thriller.
It's like suspense, thriller, drama. It's bizarre, but it is awesome. You got to see Get Out.
Get Out.
Yes.
How soon will that be on the airplane?
I don't know, but if it's on the airplane, you'll want to get out real quick, believe me.
What's it cost to go to a movie theater now? $14?
For one ticket, right?
Yeah.
I don't
$12, $14? Yeah.
No. Well, downtown, maybe. No. Yeah. On the burbs, if you go to like the matinees or after, it's about $6.50 at some of
$6.50.
The theaters.
Okay, $10 for a matinee. Seats. Downtown, because we're all matinee people. That's the only time I go see a movie, and
me
I'm not
too,
kidding.
Especially working in the mornings.
I do the matinee.
I like the matinee, and actually I have to go see movies by myself.
But here's my point. If Wonder Woman was on pay-per-view and they made you pay $20 for it, would you instead of going to the theater?
No.
A movie that you really wanted to see?
If I really, really wanted to see it, probably would pay for it, because if I really, really want anything, I'll pay for it. But
you don't want to get off your couch and go to the movie theater.
I love
love the movie theater, but I would never go.
I would absolutely pay $20 to get it on my TV.
You
so
would?
I wouldn't have to go to the movie theater.
You love the movie theater.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes you want to see a movie and it's just you're busy.
I like the
you
movie.
You gotta mow
theaters.
The lawn, you gotta edge the lawn, you gotta water the flowers.
Right.
Need to plant a new bush. Bush died.
Do the on demand for $6.
Yeah.
I mean, my husband and I fight about that all the time. I'm like, let's just watch it. It's only $6. Who cares? Then we have to leave. No, it's too much. We're not gonna do it. And we fight about it. I'm like, I always say, okay, you go to the other room, and then I turn.
Well,
it
then
on.
You get the bill, Mary, and you've got like $14, $6
yeah,
movie charges that you never watched.
Up.
I don't watch them that much.
But again, my point is, would you pay more to watch it at home than getting your butt off the couch to go to the movie theater?
Because I get angry.
So
at the
everyone
price.
Says no. I'm the only guy that would say yes.
Well, if you're going to take your family, it's going to cost you more than $20 to go to the theater anyway.
Yeah,
good point. But if I really, 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 really wanted to see it, then I'd pay the $20. But if it was sort of like, what do we watch
right,
tonight?
That's my point.
I'm not going to watch it.
Right.
Huh.
I feel like
we
lost a connection somewhere.
Okay. We always have a lost connection.
All right. Is that it?
That's all I got
okay.
right now. Yeah.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Coming up, we're going to talk to Juan Rodriguez. He's the guy that won the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest at Ribfest over the weekend in Naperville. He's out in New York right now. He's going to compete tomorrow in the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. We'll talk to him coming up next after traffic. Here's Mary. Just eat it. 720 WGN. Juan Rodriguez is a competitive eater. He ate 30 hot dogs over the weekend in Naperville at Ribfest. He's heading out to New York, Coney Island, to compete again in the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, and he's on the phone with us right now. Juan!
Yeah, hey, good morning, guys.
Juan and I were trading emails yesterday, and he said, okay, I'll take time out to do the show, but I'm training right now. You're a competitive eater. How are you training? Explain it to me.
Well, actually, yesterday was a lighter training day, so it was just moderate water intake, very light foods like a salad, some yogurt, keep it very slow, easy digestive foods.
So
today is going to be big water training. Tomorrow's going to be big water training.
Water.
You got to
expand that gut.
Training at the gym.
Right.
You're training your gut, right?
Well, but I'm also going to go to the gym. I'm ready to go. As soon as I check into the hotel, I'm going to go hit the gym.
You're a trainer by trade, right? That's your job.
Yeah, that's my job. I'm a fitness coach, fitness trainer.
He is a fitness coach. You downed 30 hot dogs in 10 minutes over the weekend in Naperville. Do you know how many calories that is?
I could do the math. It's probably, if I had a guess off the top of my head, like 8,000 calories.
7,800.
Wow.
7,800 calories in one sitting in 10 minutes.
No.
I mean, that's crazy. How does a trainer get into competitive eating?
Okay, so I was a fat kid growing up. I got ridiculed. I got super, you know, self-conscious. Lost all this weight. You know, I wasn't I'm not one of these like Maury Povich fat kids, but I was fat for my age. And I'm not a tall guy, so it looks worse. And I just started, you know, getting into fitness. And one day, about 10 years ago, my brother's like, "I bet you can't eat like that anymore." And long story short, I'm here. So, I mean, I started with little restaurant challenges, local contests back in Chicago.
What was your first one, your first eating contest you got into?
It was some pizza contest in the city. I can't remember, Rocco's pizza contest.
Okay.
And then I did Bocce Pizza. I did their contest. I won that one year. A couple other, like, mom-and-pop contests up in northern Aurora, one in Wisconsin.
Eating competition tour. So explain to me what you do. You down 30 hot dogs over the weekend. Do you dip them in water so the bun is soft? How do you do it?
Oh, yeah. If you haven't seen the pictures, you can see my hands look like I have blood on them from the strawberry.
Right. I'm looking at your Twitter feed right now, by the way, which is Juan More Bite. Juan, J-U-A-N, More Bite, if you want to check that out. But, yeah, it looks like it does. It looks like you're bleeding. What is it?
Yeah. It's just strawberry powder, like flavoring. I just put it in the water. It helps, you know, it's a little sweet to the savory of the hot dogs. It's good, you know, counteracting. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you keep talking about that. You add the sweetness so that you don't get sick of the taste, or why do you add the powder to the water?
Exactly, because at some point you're just like, if I use regular water, I'm going to keep tasting these hot dogs, and it's going to eventually just like, I'm done. So if I have something sweet to continually dunk the buns in and, you know, kind of, like I said, counteract it, it's real nice balance.
Smart.
So, Juan, were you a big fan of hot dogs before you started this?
I always ate hot dogs, yeah, when I was a kid. But then when I got in my big fitness kick, you know, I stopped. And then I remember when I initially had the thought of doing it to be a competitive eater or doing this, I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I want to do hot dogs. But then my competitive side kicked in and was like, well, if you want to be a name in this, if you want to be somebody, you better grow a set and you're going to eat some damn hot dogs.
So
and
when
like,
you...
All right, I guess.
When you win these competitions, do you get I've seen winners. You get those heavyweight belts, and it's like you can collect all these belts and trophies. Is that what you're after?
Yes, yes. And it's not, unfortunately, it's not every contest, but majority do have belts or majority do have trophies, like this one does. Nathan's obviously has a belt and a trophy. That belt is easily 30 pounds. I mean, it's almost as long as me. I don't understand. It looks small. Or
really?
Okay on Joey. But I had the privilege of holding it and putting it on me, and I'm like, good God.
So
this is ridiculous.
Juan, you competed in 2013 in the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, right? How'd you finish?
Yeah, that was my first one. I did 26 that day, and I think I took like 11th or 10th. And then it got better and better. 2014 was my best year to date, was 32 hot dogs in 10, and I took 6th place that year. And then I'd just been hovering around, you know, around the 30 mark. But the other day there was no competition. Like, it was me and a bunch. I mean, there was competition, but not real competition. And so I remember looking up at my sister as I got to dog number 20, and she just like said, pump the brakes, you're fine. You got this. you don't have to hurt yourself. Just 8:30, you know, and you're fine. You're in.
8:30, just stop right there. You got to save yourself for Tuesday. So national competition, you're going to be in, you're in New York right now. Joey Chestnut usually wins this thing, or he finishes in the top three. How many does he put down in 10 minutes?
70 plus.
70 plus?
70 plus?
Yeah. 70 plus.
So you know going into this, you're not going to win unless he trips or something happens.
No, I know I'm not going to win. I'm all about self-improvement this year. So last year I did 28 in the finals. My improvement is 40 plus. And so if I hit 40 plus, wherever that lands me, that lands me, and I'm okay with it. I'm not going to get strung up with, oh, man, I'm not winning. Oh, man. You know, 70, that's ungodly. That guy's also like 7 inches taller than me. His torso is so much longer than mine. He's been doing this 9 years longer than me. There's a whole lot of things that go into this. So God bless him. He can hit 70. That's just insane.
70 hot dogs.
14,000 calories.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he's super skinny, too. All these guys are.
Well, it's like, hold on. Joey's not super skinny.
Well,
I'm
yes.
Going to that.
I'm looking at your picture on Twitter from the competition the other day. Is that a headphone in your ear? What is that? Are you listening to something?
Yeah, so I put on my iPod Shuffle when I'm in there. So I have a timer set up in the background of my music so I know where I'm at all times. Oh. It helps me, keeps me calm, keeps me relaxed. I don't have to worry about losing. Like, sometimes I've been distracted by the MC or I just get lost in the moment. So if I keep my headphones in, I could just say, it's me and my hot dogs. That's it. The hell with everybody else. It's me and my hot dogs.
I've done 5K races, and my first song out of the box is the most important. I usually put the Rocky theme or something very uplifting. What's your first song out of the box?
It used to be Rocky used to be on there. And then I go a lot of rock, so like Slipknot and metal and Lamb of God, like that type of stuff.
Wow, this is
and
heavy.
Then,
that's heavy metal.
You need that heavy riff. You need the heavy riff that just is go, you know, keeps my heart racing. You know, I've tested different songs. You know, some were just a little too slow for contest wise. And then Rocky just kind of lost its way for me. It's like more my hype song.
So that makes me so sad.
That's pre-eating.
Well, hold on. I listen to it pre-eating, so I don't listen to it while eating.
Okay.
It's not fast enough.
Got you.
You know what I mean?
Pumps them up ahead of time.
I'm with you.
So
I would imagine competitive eating is sort of like running a marathon. Like, you don't always run all 26 miles. You run up to it. You run 6, then you run 10, then you do a long day at 15. That you're never going to run all 26, so you're not going to eat all 40 hot dogs when you're practicing. So you just do different levels of eating. And what's the worst food to eat competitively? Like bacon?
Hot dogs. hot dogs are the worst food to eat competitively.
Terrible.
But bacon was rough. Bacon was rough. But I mean, I'd rather do that than hot dogs. I only do hot dogs because it's the number one. You know, it's our Super Bowl. It's our WrestleMania. if you want to be a top eater, you have to be here. Here, don't tell me you're a competitive eater if you're not.
You go hot dogs or you go home. We are ready.
That's right.
This is what it's about. And you said you did 30 in 10 minutes. Joey Chestnut does 70. How do you? I know you dip it in water. How do you? Are you chewing it? Are you just swallowing it? How does it work? And what is Joey's technique compared to yours?
Joey's is just a more advanced level of mine. Like I kind of followed his. It's not mine. Like, I look at him and I'm like, all right, you got to minimize how many times you pick up your cup in the contest. You don't want to waste time with that. So you got to make sure you get enough water on the buns to get it in. You're essentially using the buns as your water, as your liquid intake.
Ah.
So you know what I mean? And you minimize the bites in the early stages of the contest. Then you can maximize them later in the contest. You know, there's a big science behind all this. And I learned the hard way. So I'm kind of like I said, this is year 5 now, and I feel like very comfortable in what I'm doing. Now I just got to work on my capacity a lot more. I know what I can hold. I can hold 40 hot dogs. 40 hot dogs have been in my body several times. So I know that I'm kind of capable of this.
I'm getting pumped up. I don't know about you guys. I feel like I need to go eat a pack of hot dogs. Where did you go to high school?
Evergreen Park.
Okay. We all have a vested interest now. We got a local guy in the Nathan's National Hot Dog Eating Contest
it's
tomorrow.
It's on TV.
Where is it going to be? What channel?
ESPN, right?
ESPN2 at live at 11 a.m. Chicago time, and then it'll replay on ESPN throughout the day.
Okay, ESPN2 at 11 a.m. What are you going to be wearing? Hometown colors?
Well, unfortunately, we have to keep it with Nathan's. You know, they gave us gear, but you'll appreciate what I'm wearing, because it hences back to your Rocky idea. So you'll appreciate that.
Damn, that's a
and
great
there is
hook.
A hint. There's a hint of Chicago in there. I don't know if you'll be able to find it, but it's there.
Juan Rodriguez, follow him on Twitter at Juan More Bites.
Juan More Bites.
Juan, we'll be in touch, man. Good luck tomorrow and happy training today.
We'll be watching.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
All right. Thanks, brother.
No problem. That's
just awesome. I'm so pumped up. I feel like I need to do some push-ups during commercials.
Sick or hungry?
It's 8:33. Both. It's 720 WGN. Ooh. 8:42, Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris. I love this next guy. Our Chicago Police Superintendent, who is taking time out of his busy schedule to come on the show today. It is Eddie Johnson. First of all, sir, how are you feeling? How's your health?
I'm feeling great. Thanks for asking. Yeah, we're getting closer, so hopefully we'll get something done this month.
So you're going to get a kidney transplant this month?
Well, hopefully. I'm optimistic. It hasn't been finalized yet, but we're making progress.
How many years have you been on the list?
I've been on the list probably a little over 2 years, so maybe going into maybe the third year, somewhere around there.
Is that the average, 2-3 years for a person?
Yeah, I think it's actually about 5 years, but be totally honest, I was on the list, but I hadn't really told, like, my family members how serious it was getting. Because, like I said, I've been dealing with this for over 30 years. So,
right.
You know, I think that the average is probably about 5 years.
And no one really knew about it until you had that episode during a press conference and you kind of fainted, and then we heard about what happened.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, it's just something that, you know, you try to deal with, and I've been managing it all this time, so I didn't feel the urgency to really tell anyone. But then after that occurred, then I thought, you know, maybe I better let everybody know what's really going on.
How much weight have you lost?
I'm up about at 45 pounds down right now.
Wow.
45 pounds. That's fantastic, man. You look great.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yep, that's just a lot of hard work since February 1st, so I'm going to keep chipping at it.
Good for you.
Well, 4th of July weekend has traditionally been pretty violent in Chicago. First of all, let's talk about the shooting Saturday night. A person fatally shot in Lawndale. Can you tell us about that?
Well, you know, again, you know, I have to keep saying, you know, those investigations are still open, so we don't really talk a whole lot about them. But I will say this. It just goes to show you again that we just have too many guns in the streets of Chicago and too many people willing to use them.
Well, why would someone have an AK-47 at their house?
Well, they should. You know, those are weapons that were made for military and for war, and you know that they just shouldn't be on the streets of Chicago. And that's why I say, you know, sometimes we have to do common sense things to keep people from getting access to these weapons. I'm all for people's legal rights to have weapons. I don't have an issue with that. It's the illegal weapons that I have a large issue with. It until we get serious about tracking these weapons, then we'll continue to see this cycle of violence.
Now, the anti-crime initiative was announced over the weekend. How will those 20 new federal gun agents that were going to be added to the task force, how are they going to help Chicago?
So that gives us the ability, well, the ATF agents that were added will help us to track the illegal flow of guns into the city and actually work on the people that are supplying them. You know, because I tell you this, too, we're trying to work with our federal partners to strengthen up the straw purchasing gun laws to make those individuals more accountable. But those agents will help us in this fight against this gun violence.
Well, congratulations on the gun crime bill that was signed by the governor, and I know you and the mayor have been pushing for it. How is this going to help?
Yeah, it'll help. You know, once it goes into effect, what it does is it sends the message that we won't tolerate this gun violence. And secondly, for these repeat gun offenders that consistently use weapons to create havoc in our neighborhoods, it will finally hold them accountable. Their jail sentencing will be appropriate to the crimes that they commit, and the judges now will be sentencing them from the mid to high end of the sentencing range that's already there. And if they want to deviate for some reason, then they can, but they have to make a public written statement as to why they're deviating.
So the strike force, is it about 40 people? Is that where it's at right now that's working on the...
Yeah, about 40. Yeah, 40 people all together. So with the ATF agents and with our other partners and with the task force officers that CPD are dumping into it, it'll be about 40 all together.
So, but the biggest question that I have is the additional 20 agents, is that enough to really help with the illegal gun problem?
Well, it'll help, but of course we could always use more, you know. This problem isn't going to be solved by sending 20 agents in, of course, or the gun bill that was just passed. But it's all those things together that will help make things better out here.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson. I went to U2, Superintendent, a few weeks ago at Soldier Field. I've been to some street fairs. I see more of a police presence. By the way, the U2 concert I thought was going to take us forever to get into Soldier Field. It was very orderly, and we didn't have to wait that long. But I do feel the police presence now, especially when I go to street fairs everywhere around the city during the summertime.
Yeah, we have ramped up our visibility. You know, some of the officers that would normally be in a covert capacity, you know, we've put them in uniforms so that you will see them out mm-hmm. there. But we have to, you know, it's our obligation to make sure that the citizens of the city feel safe and are safe when they attend these large-scale events. And that's what we're doing. So you will see that throughout the summer.
And are you enjoying your summer?
Yes, I am. You know, listen, I love this city and I love this department. You know, and the men and women in this department, they go out there every day, and I couldn't be more proud of them because, you know, despite everything going on, they still go out there and do this job, you know, to protect the citizens of this city. And my job, I get a lot of joy out of making things better for them and making things better for the citizens of the city.
I love that. And you do it with a smile on your face. And is Eddie Johnson going to be barbecuing tomorrow? What's your plans for the 4th?
No, I might visit a couple of barbecues, but you'll see me and the rest of the staff out there in full force. So we want to make sure that you guys have a happy and enjoyable 4th of July.
He's going to be on the streets tomorrow.
And we want to thank you for the efforts that you make and all the work that you do to keep us safe and continue to keep us safe. So, you know, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank both of you.
Happy 4th. Thank you, Superintendent.
All right. Bye-bye.
That's Eddie Johnson joining us.
It's good to know. It was good to talk to him.
He's a good man. And the Chicago Police Department, man, it's tough. I know so many Chicago police officers, mm-hmm. and they're all good people. They are, the people that I know.
And they're all after the same thing. We want to keep our city safe.
Right. That's it.
Yeah.
Again, why did that that guy over the weekend have an AK-47? Really? I agree with him. I'm all for gun ownership, but the AK-47, why is it at your house?
But that's why now they've added the 20 people to the strike force. Now we've got about 40 people plus the police force to find out where these illegal guns are coming from. And so step in the right direction. Like he said, we could always use more.
8:49, let's take a look at traffic. Mary? 720 WGN, Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris, and for Steve Cochran, Andy Mazur is here. Three Bradley graduates in the studio. Andy, I just saw your tweet from earlier. Bradley has now retweeted your tweet.
Yeah,
saying,
we got a shout-out from the Alumni Association. I think they is that better than money?
They are absolutely going to call you and ask for money now. Do you guys get calls from 309 Peoria asking for money?
Yes, and I know it's them. And what happens, it's always a student, and they go, and they start reading your profile.
And they can't spell, they can't pronounce your name.
Oh, no. Then I have a 20-minute conversation with them saying, how did you get to do what you want to do? And what's one of your goals? And how did you get them? What are you? And so I end up telling, like, giving them career advice instead of giving them money, which is fine. I'm happy to do it.
Mr. McCurry. No one can pronounce my name.
McMurray?
It's easy. McMurray.
Yeah, mm-hmm. McMurray.
Yeah, it's simple. I did that in college. I did the call-outs to ask for money.
Did you really?
I did. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Did you call somebody and
hey,
go,
man.
No. Hey,
we
buddy.
We need some cash. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Huh? What are you? Where are you working right now? How's your job?
Pete needs a new pair of shoes.
We need some money.
I know why they hired you.
As soon as I see 309-674, I know it's Bradley, and I never pick it up. It's always a screen. Shoot.
Well, the thing is, they'll keep calling you until you do pick up.
I know. Yeah. I'll just send them money.
Yeah.
But you send everybody. You got your church.
I know.
You got your high school,
mm-hmm.
your grammar school,
mm-hmm.
College.
School.
You got charities. I mean, you know, and now the state is increasing the income tax.
Are, yeah.
Man. My wife is out of town until tomorrow afternoon.
What does that mean for Pete McMurray?
I don't know. I mean, I'm free. If you guys are having a picnic, I'll come over.
He's just looking for something to do. Aren't you going to go to the pool, get a workout in?
What pool? I was going to your pool.
I know.
I actually have to mow the lawn. Which is nice.
You can wear your shirt on or off? Just a sweater?
How does that take about 5 minutes. Don't you have a tiny lawn?
It takes 11 minutes,
oh,
Mary.
Sorry.
11.
Wow.
Okay, for people that are driving right now, your visual is your master bathroom. That's how big my front yard is, but I'm obsessed with it. And I just want to grow grass.
That's what I've been doing all the last 2 months.
Is mowing lawns?
Because we have the shade of a big elm tree.
Oh.
And I was told by somebody in the neighborhood that the elm tree is the hardest tree to grow grass near because they suck up all the nutrients from the soil.
Sure. You got to keep watering that sucker, but you got to be careful. You can't soak the lawn.
No, you can't soak the lawn.
I know all about
this. You got to be real careful. You got to have a little topsoil on there.
Yep.
It's good stuff.
I got a guy if you need one. Ciro.
I'm the
Italian
guy.
Gardens.
I'm my own guy in this respect. Guy.
I got a guy that'll help you grow the grass.
All right. Well, cool.
Yeah.
It's going pretty well.
Are you the type of guy that walks around and looks at other people's lawns?
Well,
because
I do now.
That.
I do now.
Yeah. I do.
We were walking through the neighborhood, and there were some AstroTurf lawns.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of people on my block that kind of gave up just because there's too much shade.
Really?
Yeah. You just can't grow. The grass does not like to grow. Because
but it's bright green in January. It just doesn't seem right.
It always looks good.
Never have to worry about it. Never
cheating.
Have to mow it.
Looks like vacation don't give up. All the
just,
time.
No, don't give up. Well, you got to have a lawn.
I want a lawn,
mm-hmm.
So I've gotten to work. I'm a hard. I roll my sleeves up and I'm working.
Are you
I love
that
it.
Today?
Not. I'll probably do that today.
Did you grow up mowing lawns? I did, and
I did not.
I love it to this day. I did.
But
that
I
was another
it.
College job. I did.
You love it because it takes 11 minutes.
No, before I grew up mowing lawns. It's that sense of accomplishment when you're done and
mm-hmm.
you look at a newly manicured lawn. It's
looks
like,
good.
Yeah, I love it.
Do you do the hedging on the side too?
The edging?
The edging?
Yes.
Not the hedging.
I have a weed whacker / edger.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does Wrigley get to use the bathroom out on the front lawn, or
no.
is that off limits?
No. He's peed in the front lawn, too. Three different spots. Oof. It's very upsetting. My wife let him out front. He's got to go out back. We got a little area on the side of the house, the rocks. I've trained him to go out there. I'm telling you, it's crazy at the McMurrays.
Wow.
So that's my day, mowing my lawn, 11 minutes of glory.
If anybody has a barbecue for Pete, let him know.
Yes, I will come to your house, and I mean that. I will absolutely.
Come to my house and help me make red, white, and blue salad thing that I have to make.
What is that?
I don't know. Some Jell-O thing that I...
Can't you just go to Jewel and just buy it?
No, I'm making it for my daughter's party, and I have to bring it. It has to look fancy and cool.
Mary will make it happen.
Some Mary can Jell-O do it.
Well, then they were out of berry blue Jell-O at the Jewels. I got the last one.
I wouldn't even know where to get that. What aisle is that in?
Call JoJo.
Call JoJo, yes.
Aisle.
Yeah.
The baking aisle?
Yeah, by the where Jell-O, Jell-O is.
I bought a spatula plate 2 weeks ago. That was it. I rarely go down that aisle.
Oh, right.
For the
down
spices.
The aisle.
We have enough spices at our house.
If you run out there, right there.
Good luck, Mayor.
Yeah,
we're all
rooting
for you.
Thanks for the help.
Bring some leftovers in tomorrow.
Right. Okay. Bill and Elton Jim coming up next. We'll talk to them right after these on 720 WGN. Well, Elton Jim's in the house with Bill. This is a special treat. I haven't seen you in a long time. Look at the rose-colored
glasses.
Well,
of course. Well, they're pink.
But it's a way to look at the world, isn't it, through rose-colored
glasses?
Especially
these days.
Yes.
Bill.
Uh-huh. Troubled times, Pete.
Yeah, you used to come in at 7 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
To see you every day.
Right.
Yeah.
It's nice to see you.
Good to see you.
I'm free for a barbecue today, guys.
So you want to do a barbecue?
Yeah, what do you got?
We can, whatever makes you happy, we'll furnish.
Pork chops.
Do you just want pork chops?
You're a chop man.
Let's do it, yeah.
I love a good chop.
All right. And applesauce, in keeping with our nostalgic theme.
Yep. Yes, absolutely.
We can make that happen for you. Are you in tomorrow also?
I am in, I'm doing your show. You're not in tomorrow.
Oh.
You have the day off.
Well deserved.
Jane and I are doing your show, right?
Wow.
Nine.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, we're 9 to 12 tomorrow.
That's what we're doing now.
All right.
Oh, you're doing 9 to 12? Right, because it's 9.
I just show up. If they want to put me on air, I should.
Well, this sounds like an Algonquin roundtable.
It does.
There's a lot of intelligent comments being made here. Well, we're on tomorrow. Is that Tuesday? I think so.
Were we on yesterday?
Like a Sunday.
Yeah, it does a little bit.
Yeah. Well, today's a fake holiday. It is and it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
We went to church. Was that ridiculous?
And synagogue. Said, yeah, we didn't know what to everything. Do.
Yes.
It's a little for a while.
Right.
We said, let's cover all bases.
Have a great 4th.
Thank you. All of you as well.